Fire it up.
All right, we're on, and let me get on the butt. And we are live.
Yep.
We're live on RandyRadio.com.
We're live, pal.
The greatest show ever on the network.
Five Alive. Remember Five Alive?
Ooh.
The drink?
Oh, yeah.
It's tasty.
I like Five Alive. You know what I hate?
What?
It's fucking Sunny D. Sunny D's a bunch of garbage.
Sunny D was good, too. But
purple stuff?
Sunny D's creamy. Like, how could you drink, like,
what do you mean creamy?
Creamy. Sunny D's creamy.
It's not milk. Would you not shake it, stupid?
No, it's fucking creamy.
Creamy.
Every time I've ever had Sunny D, it tastes like a gentleman ejaculated in some orange juice.
All right.
Maybe you're drinking out of the Sunny can. It's full of ejaculation.
Maybe you're just... I don't know. Matt might be right.
I had a different Sunny in mind when you said that, but okay, keep going.
I was thinking of Tammy.
Never mind.
Sunny
No. Let the people, theater of the mind, let the people think
theater
their own.
Theater of the mind.
Yes.
She might be having a parole hearing, by the way. Oh, anyway, go ahead.
Oh, parole hearings.
Parole.
Tonight on The Shining Wizards, the theater of the mind, we cover All Elite Wrestling. We talk Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, God.
We talk MLW.
Woo-hoo.
We talk New Japan Pro Wrestling, the NWA, and this week's Shining Wizards Tonys. Wizards Rewind.
Shining Wizards Tonys.
WrestleMania X7.
Tony. Guess what? We got picks too today, fuckers.
All next. Oh, look at Kevin's face. All next. On the Shining Wizards.
Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on RantiumRadio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Kevin Sullivan, and if you're not listening to the podcast, it's the Shining Wizards. I'm going to come to your house, and I'm going to lay underneath the bed. And when you go to get in the bed tonight, if you're not listening to this podcast, I'll bite your leg.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
Hell yeah!
Please. Fucking whore.
God damn.
Please. Fucking whore.
Please.
Fucking whore.
Please.
Fucking whore. Wait, what?
Hey,
wait, everybody.
Whatever. 8 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock is what I meant. 7 o'clock is what I just said because it's 7 o'clock. And we're live on the Rant, rantamradio.com. We are also coming to your ears in download form wherever you get your wrestling podcasts. But it's the Shining Wizards where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Kevin.
Matt.
And we got a lot to talk about tonight. What's going on, boys?
Oofa. I have no idea, man. I just got thrown for a loop in the last
bamboozled
45 seconds before the show.
Well, there's a New Japan Pro Wrestling New Beginnings, a big show, first of the year.
Whoa!
On Sunday.
Sunday fun day.
So is that Sunday or is that Monday? Or is that Saturday?
I think it would be Sunday at like 3 a.m.
Japan's got weird time.
Well, it would be Sunday like our time, 3 a.m.
So like 3 a.m.
So it'd be
our
like
time.
Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening for them.
I could actually watch that.
Or is it like Monday morning for us?
Is that going to be on the New Japan World?
Yes.
I could actually watch that.
Why, are you going to be up late Sunday?
Saturday night is WrestlePro, so I'll be at the hotel.
Oh.
And I could probably just pop that on the old iPad.
I like it.
All right.
Kevin's got plans, man. I like it.
I didn't even know there was a WrestlePro show this weekend.
I didn't know there were 17 shows leading up to this New Japan show that we're calling.
There were two so far.
No. There's been a ton of stuff. There were like 8 shows in the U.S., a
the
couple
US
shows in Japan.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's like a whole
but
fucking
that
thing leading
really
up to
really doesn't
this.
Have much on the New Beginnings.
It doesn't matter anyway. You know why? Because everybody wins and everybody loses. And everybody wins and everybody loses.
Is it just me or does it feel like it's been longer than a week since we've been together?
It does. This week was very long for me, too.
I don't know, like
personal thing.
You
but.
Diving right into the New Japan talk kind of made me feel like, well, we haven't even like... caught up with each other yet, but we have, I guess, right?
How are you, Kev?
I'm fantastic. Matt,
good to catch up
how
with
are you?
You?
I'm great.
All right.
I'm fucking awesome. I went to the MLW TV tapings at the 2300 Arena Saturday.
Who'd you go with?
I went with Big Coppa Pump.
Regrets.
Nice. Jay. Team Jay.
Rob Dominguez. Domingo. Whatever the fuck his name is.
Doing flips and shit.
He looks like a Pokemon.
He does look like a Pokemon.
Like a fat, short Squirtle.
Jesus Christ.
What?
I don't know.
He's my buddy. We are buddies now.
All right, cool.
I think I made a new friend.
How about your old friend, Phil?
Phil, I felt like I was an inconvenience to Phil. I'm not going to lie to you.
Matt, what's it like for you making friends? I feel like you don't like to make friends.
Yeah, he's always so antisocial when it comes to wrestling
Hold, first of all, wrestling fans, here's what you want to do, wrestling fans. If you know you're going to be walking through a tight space, buy a belt. I don't need your fucking pimply ass crack in my face.
All right.
You disgusting fucking slob.
Is that one of the people that you were with?
It was not.
I could see that.
But it was one of the people I mentioned before we went on the air.
Okay. We can keep that between
gross.
Us.
Yeah, it was fucking gross. Ooh. Me and Phil started laughing our fucking balls off.
Matt, making friends.
And I couldn't find my Shining Wizards t-shirt, and Jay wore his, so I was like, Jay,
you couldn't find your one Shining Wizards t-shirt?
No, I have all of them.
You couldn't find
you
any
couldn't
of them?
Find one?
I wanted to wear the pink and black.
Oh,
I couldn't
okay.
find it. In my
could have wore your 8th anniversary shirt.
In my fucking pile of black wrestling t-shirts.
That's so bad, man. It really is ridiculous, but like you're trying to find one, and you're doing laundry and stuff, and every shirt's a black t-shirt.
That's why I got the red and white one, the Christmassy colors. You like that one. I wore that a couple weeks ago. I like to mix it up a little bit.
No, but we had a great time.
Get a yellow and red, a little Hulkamania action going.
I still have those. I have both of those.
Those are awesome.
The one that was taken down and our custom one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the parental advisory one. That's the one that was removed. I never bought the Suplex City one. That one was taken down, too. I think only one person ever bought that because it was only up for like a day or two.
I don't have it.
It's possible.
That's a keeper, folks.
There you go.
That's a relic.
A relic so, in the
and,
world.
And
of
if
Shining
a certain
Wizards.
Fan of ours is listening in Texas, if you still have the parental advisory shirt.
Oh, you ain't ever getting that.
I would love if you
never.
Still have it. I want it back.
Wow. Well, bold. That's bold.
You guys want to be part of history? We still got some 8th anniversary shirts. There's very few left. We're running out of them quickly. Go all over right. to shinywizards.com/merch. Pick one up.
I'm still amazed at how great of a night that was.
It was an awesome night.
How awesome was your night at the 2300 Arena?
It was amazing.
There you go.
It was fucking long.
All right, Matt.
You.
This is the first time back in that place in 20 years.
It is.
Is it like a corporate 2300? Is it like corporate Kevin came in and...
Does corporate Kevin want to play pool by the bar instead of watching the wrestling show?
There's a pool? I mean...
Yep, you can go swimming too.
You can go swimming? Is there a continental breakfast in the morning?
You know what? We didn't stay to find out.
Okay.
But they had quite the variety of snack food there. So
wait, people were playing pool while the wrestling show was happening?
Yeah, because at the bar they had four giant TVs with the show on.
And people were just playing pool?
I mean, there was a couple people. It wasn't like there were like people were like, oh, I got next.
Could you hear it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, what?
Could you hear pool, the pool ball shattering?
No.
All right. Can you hear people doing cannonballs in the pool?
Maybe.
Okay.
Was there still coke in the bathrooms?
I didn't investigate every stall, but it would not surprise me at all.
Really? Well, the bathrooms aren't redone?
Dude, there's coke in every bathroom everywhere.
Well, I'm just saying.
And they had that awesome mural on the wall in the bathroom, the ECW mural.
I'm surprised you didn't take a picture of yourself with it. With the mural.
I mean, I wasn't, hey, come on in the bathroom with me. You're going
to
hold my
listen,
dick
you were
and then
you
take
made
a picture.
New friend. You made a new friend? Rob Domingo
yeah, but
could
I don't
want
to go to the bathroom with people. That's weird.
Buddy system.
Yeah, man, always.
Yeah, I just took a picture of it.
Stand next to each other at the urinals.
I was expecting the token picture in front of the mural. I didn't realize I was in the bathroom now.
Yeah, it's in the bathroom.
I see all the people posting pictures of it. I never realized it was actually in the bathroom.
It's in the bathroom. So where you walk in? Wasn't even part of the original ECW arena.
They added that all onto the street, I guess? To the corner? Because that was always like a pretty big stretch.
It was a big stretch, but if you remember, that building was that 99-cent store where you would go in there and buy like...
Down a couple ways like past the garage
that
was attached.
Huge,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, you're...
So they took over all that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it must be ginormous.
Yeah, it was big.
Wow.
It was big.
How many people do you think that place holds? You think 2 grand?
Maybe.
Nice.
They announced it as a sellout, but there was a lot of empty seats.
Padded or unpadded?
Unpadded seats. Okay. A lot of empty unpadded seats.
Only the first 5 rows were padded. What row were you in?
We were in row 6. It was a sore Sunday.
Wait, did you pay the same price as rows 1 through 5? Because obviously you got your tickets for a cheaper price.
Well, not row 1 and 2, I think.
Well, but I mean, row 3 cost
maybe,
a little
maybe
more
not
than
3
six.
Either. Yeah, usually, yeah, 3 probably cost a little more. It was interesting. Goes... There was a little seat confusion when we got there. But me and Jay were too busy looking at all the rafters of all the ECW alumni that I wasn't paying attention to anything.
So who's retired, I guess, for lack of a better term, whose jerseys are retired?
Well, they're not retired. It's like the ECW Hall of Fame.
No,
right?
I get it, but that's like to equate it to sports, you would hang the band.
Malenko, Guerrero.
Malenko?
Yeah.
Rock and Johnny Grunge are up
there,
right?
Yeah, the Public Enemy.
Tommy
Funk,
Dreamer?
Dreamer.
Sandman?
Candido. I think I took a picture.
Wait, all right.
Let's see.
Oh, this is a good little bit of, like, guess who's in the rafters. I kind of like this.
Is Malenko there just because of his matches with Eddie?
Probably.
He was in the Triple Threat,
I'm aware. He was the original Triple Threat. I get it.
He was just more than his matches with Eddie. Fucking dickheads.
No, I'm just curious.
Mikey Whipwreck's got to be up there, no? I don't think he is.
When I think ECW, I'm sorry. I don't think Dean Malenko.
Well, he went in 2015 through the House of Hardcore.
Who, Tommy?
No, Dean Malenko.
Oh, Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero are in through House of Hardcore as part of the Hardcore Hall of Fame.
All right.
So that's not part of the ECW?
Well, it's all called the Arena.
So is it them? Are they like the...
What's
the liaison to this? Or is everything on that up in the rafters through House of Hardcore?
No. I think everything after 2015 when Dreamer started running there will now be...
Okay.
Yo, prior to that, it's Eddie Gilbert.
Okay.
Flyboy Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge. Chris Candido. Trent Acid is up there.
Wow.
Funk, I mentioned. Pitbull 1 and 2. The Blue Meanie. Shane Douglas, Too Cold Scorpio, Dreamer, Jerry Lynn, Sabu, Todd Gordon, Sandman.
I think when I think ECW, I think of all of those people.
Wait, did you say the
Trent Acid was
did you say the ECW Arena fans?
I did not mention the ECW Arena fans.
They were inducted by Greg Excellent. That's a name from the past. Holy shit.
CZW. Well, CZW ran a lot there, okay. So Trent Acid
no,
was...
that makes sense then, 100%. R.I.P. Trent Acid.
It was different, though. Like, where we sat, the hard camera was behind us for the taping, but in ECW Arena, the hard camera would have been to the left of us, and the Eagle's Nest would have been directly across from where we sat.
Okay.
So we had it all kind of figured out as to where we were, but the part where, like, the bathrooms were and where the bar was and where they did the meet and greet and where you got your tickets at Will Call, like, that was all new.
Man,
it was crazy. It's beautiful inside.
It's like
beautiful.
It's corporate ECW.
I mean, it's not really ECW. No, I mean, it was an awesome venue, and the show was great. MLW put on a great show. The TV tapings were super fucking long.
Of course.
4.5 hours.
Did they give you any kind of dark match to keep you there? Like anything interesting? Or?
It was 4.5 hours.
I know.
They give us a ton of shit.
No, but usually like when you used to go like to like Hershey or like the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, you'd sit there for 4.5 hours, but you were guaranteed like a cool main event.
I mean, you saw everybody. You saw the Killer Cross... Tom Lawler match ended up being a schmoz, and that turned into an 8-man tag, which was your main event.
Don't give spoilers, dude.
I mean, I put all the matches on Twitter. I didn't give the results away, but I put all the matches up on Twitter and took a lot of pictures.
All right,
I got a lot of love.
You deserve it.
On the Twitter machine. We did, the Shining Wizards collectively.
That's right.
And I talked to Jordan Oliver.
How many F-bombs did he drop in the first 5 seconds of your conversation?
A couple. He showed me the picture that him and the boys from Injustice took in front of the ECW mural.
There you go.
He had like some ECW board shorts on.
Chalkline official?
Yeah, something like that.
So they were all in the bathroom, the members of Injustice, and they had no problem taking pictures. But...
Well, I'm sure that's when there's nobody in the fucking arena.
So who cares?
I don't need some fucking slob touching my phone. It's bad enough I got to sit around them.
Fucking
wrestling fans are
selfie,
fucking
gross. Bro. You got the option on your phone. You press that little camera button and boom, now you got
it. Nah, I suck at selfies. I look like an idiot.
Well, that's no matter what.
I know. It's not the selfies problem, but whatever.
Boo.
But it was a great time. And we sat around some very cool fans who got a kick out of us.
Oh, were you like... All right, let me ask you this.
All right, go ahead.
Were you like... did you like transform yourself back into like...
Good question.
Like old this. Matt, like where like you were like a complete asshole.
Yeah, were you like jerk off?
No. But we yelled some things at some people.
Who yelled the worst things?
Who yelled the worst things?
Because this is different now. Because we
I'm
know
pretty
these guys.
Sure Phil dropped like an F bomb and not the fuck bomb.
Really?
Oh no way! So,
yeah. Wow,
Phil, you're better than that, man.
I don't think he necessarily yelled it, but it was audible enough for the people around us. And then the guy in the second row kept standing up, and every time he did, Phil yelled, "Sit down, you fucking Mark." And I guess it progressed to the point where I guess I went to go get food at one point, where the kid sitting directly behind the guy who kept standing up finally told him to stop fucking standing up.
See, now, was he like standing up to take pictures?
No, he was literally standing up.
And he's in like the first couple
in
rows?
In the second row. He was in the second row. He stood up for everything. Literally everything.
No need for that.
You're in the second row.
Like, and you're like, look, a small little venue.
Yeah, you guys watched MLW. I mean, the crowd's
all
always
the
into it,
big
but
fan,
I've never seen
fan.
People just jumping out of their chairs on TV. You know what I'm saying?
Like, literally, he like stood up for everything.
It's not like they're brawling into the crowd constantly where you need to get up and get a better look.
Do you remember how tough it was, though, like when you would go to like actual shows when in the, I guess, the poster era where everyone brought signs and everyone brought posters and how annoying that was?
Oh, yeah.
But yet you're still the one. You have yours, too.
Of course. So I was thinking about that while I was watching X7.
A lot of signs, man. That was the heyday of the signs.
Especially during a match where people were trying to get their signs up.
I told you when I went to SmackDown a couple of years ago at the Prudential Center, I had my sign.
Yeah, but you made super stupid signs. That's what.
But
I
was the only guy with a sign.
Super stupid signs.
I was expressing my opinion, and it got taken away.
Was it a Trump sign?
It said John Cena sucks.
Yeah. How dare you disrespect John Cena?
I love John Cena. He sucks.
John Cena.
But we had a good time.
All right, cool.
So a lot of action. I did yell a lot at King Mo.
You hate King Mo.
King Mo has zero right to be in a wrestling ring. There are MMA stars who can transition into pro wrestlers. Ken Shamrock, Dan Severn.
What do you think of the purple guy on Team Filthy?
Dominic Guarini?
Yes.
He looks like... he's very bloated.
He looks like Skippy from
Facts of Life.
Yes, no, not Facts of Life.
Growing Pains. No, Boner's Growing Pains. No, my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Family something.
Family ties.
Family ties. Yes.
There you go.
He looks like Skippy. Yo, I watched MLW this week. Him and Tom Lawler went shopping for cowboy boots and buckles while they were in Texas.
Fucking Tom Lawler sucks, too.
You think?
He's got a look, but he's just not...
Look, here's the thing, right? If you're an MMA fighter, unless you're, like, really, really trained, like, you're really fucking bad in the ring.
Well, let me tell you
King
this,
King Mo's
though.
Fucking garbage.
Someone keeps bringing him back.
I don't know why. I don't know where the crossover
is. I wonder if he's part of America's top team.
Yeah,
he is.
Right? Fucking Dan King Lambert Mo? Was there looking like fucking... fucking the retarded Colonel Rob Parker standing out there
Fat
in his
Larry
fucking
Bird.
Dungarees, you fucking asshole.
Dungarees. God, listen to you.
What a fucking toolboxes. I don't understand what Court Bauer is doing, why he brings in fucking King Mo for this fucking Team Filthy bullshit. And fucking Kit Osborne, Von Erich.
Kip Sabian.
He's Kit. Rip Von Erich Osborne. He looks like fucking Shawn Michaels if he didn't take steroids. He comes out with a cowboy hat on.
Nice. I mean, it's kind of like there were fake Von Erichs before.
There was one.
There was one, Lance.
I mean, there were fake Funks, too.
Jimmy Jack.
God, don't you dare disrespect Jimmy Jack. He's the only Funk I respect.
Wow.
Wait, what? Because he wasn't a real one?
Exactly.
All right.
That's not very
I'll
remember
nice.
That next time Dory Funk is lashing some people at ringside while Nick Aldis is cheering them on.
Yeah, next time Dory Funk calls into the podcast.
Let me know. Well, yeah, let me know how fucking Dory Funk's doing.
Can we get Dory Funk on the show?
I don't know. Does Dory Funk know how to use a fucking phone? He can't use a whip.
Jesus
That's
Christ,
probably a good
the
thing.
The guy's 95.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to some fucking 95-year-old who doesn't remember what he had for breakfast six hours ago.
We've done that before.
Yeah, I mean.
Tommy Rich.
I like Tommy Rich. Tommy Rich was a good talk.
Bobby Eaton?
Bobby Eaton was rough.
Bobby Eaton was rough. I did my best.
He's not a talker, though, apparently.
But that was great, though.
And he's not very good at giving compliments, either.
Giving them or taking them?
Giving them. Told Arn Anderson's wife, food is okay.
Oh, yeah.
His wife didn't talk to him for like a week.
He's not missing much.
Sam Houston.
They announced that they're returning to Philadelphia for the...
Sam Houston was a good guest. He was awesome.
The Battle Riot is returning to Philadelphia, the 40-man over-the-top rope.
Ooh, those are fun.
And the winner gets the briefcase. I was disappointed there was no Selena De La Renta there.
Mm. Maybe she heard Phil was
coming. L.A. Park didn't come back?
Yeah, the Los Parks were there.
And no Selena.
And no Selena.
Wow.
Does not serve well for the Promociones Del Rado.
Yeah, maybe she thinks low of Philadelphia.
They're in bad shape, bro.
Yeah, they're beat up. And then they announced they're partnering with Dragon Gate.
Yes.
So that should be pretty cool.
Yeah. There you go.
What's that look for, Kev?
I'm trying to think of what, like, when's the last time that I watched Dragon Gate? Is Dragon Gate still popular in Japan, I guess?
There's like a Dragon Gate website, like a streaming service. Larry Dallas does all the English commentary.
Right, I did know that.
Rich Bocchini?
Bocchini.
Does that sound right?
That's the MLW guy.
Is it Rich?
Yeah. Rich is the MLW guy. Does he work Dragon Gate as well?
See, I guess my question was...
No, Larry Leonard does Dragon Gate.
The two Larrys?
Yeah.
Do they have a brother, Daryl?
Maybe.
Like, what is Japan's, like... Like, obviously, we have, like, WWE. We have, you know, AEW. We have, you know, MLW, Impact, Ring of Honor.
What's the hierarchy?
Yeah, what's the hierarchy?
It's New Japan.
Yeah, obviously.
Then maybe All Japan.
All Japan's still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How come they don't have stuff?
I think they have a streaming service. I just don't think it...
I don't even know if they have TV anymore, do they?
I don't know. And then there's like... Then you fall in like Dragon Gate, DDT Pro.
DDT, right.
And Noah was just merged into the company that owns DDT Pro, I think.
Yes.
Wrestling Noah.
And wasn't Impact working with Pro Wrestling Noah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
well, MLW was working with them, but then they went exclusive with Impact. That's why they've got the Dragon Gate deal now with MLW.
Yeah, but MLW, like, cycles.
Oh, they do all
the
time.
Fucking Conan was there, and he cut another promo, and he talked about Jordan Oliver and Cinnabons again. I don't get it now, Tony. I'm with you.
Because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
And he came out with his
Psychosis 2 smacked the rest of his brains out of his head.
I fucking yelled that, too. I said, smack him in the face like Psychosis 2 did. I got a chuckle from the people around me.
There you go.
I don't like Conan. I don't think he's funny. I think he sucks.
I think he's one of those guys that
overrated.
When he comes up with something that he thinks is good,
yeah,
he stays with it.
You're right. And to that greater point, he always like is like puta puta when it comes to Selena, like all the time. It's like really.
And he did that. He did that in WCW too. And I'm trying to. You guys keep talking, because I'm going to remember it soon. About what his catchphrase was. He had some weird catchphrase that it wasn't just his, you know, Odele speak on this, that. He had something else that he kept going back
Vutos,
to.
Vatos, locos.
No,
forever.
No, no.
Rowdy, rowdy, bowdy, bowdy.
No, no. Just all that aside, that was actually the stuff that got over. But he had some weird other stuff that was like pretty perverted, and he's stuck with it. I mean, I have no idea what the Cinnabon thing is, but.
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember it either.
I'm going to take a step out, and I'm going to think about it, because I will think of it. And, It will come to me. And it was just bad. It was just like, oh, my God. It was like...
It was some sort of gay slur, wasn't it?
It was either that.
Marika? Or, did you say Marika?
No.
And it wasn't...
All right, so why Kevin Eddie thinks, because I think we keep interrupting his thought process here. You watched MLW this week.
Yes, I did.
Let's talk about it. What did you like? What did you dislike?
I didn't like that they advertised Airwolf for some match, and then they said he got beat up by somebody and sent to the hospital. Why do they do a bait and switch like that? Why?
Because I think that's the risk you run when you work with some of these. Like,
yeah, but these are taped like weeks in advance.
Yeah,
you can easily edit that shit out. Do something else. Give me 3 more minutes of Dynasty sitting at the pool. You know what I'm saying?
I guess.
I don't know. It's just weird that they keep
doing
that.
Someone still has to have the match, though.
I like Skippy and Tom Lawler buying fucking cowboy boots and belt buckles, putting them on their black belts and shit. That was pretty funny.
What do you think of the no ropes, no hold barred fight between Davey Boy Smith and Simon Gotch?
Weird. I think it worked out okay. They seem to like work okay with it, but I don't know. Like shit like that doesn't really wow me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think they're just trying to plant the seeds for this. I think Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Jacob Fatu, who was amazing live.
Oh yeah,
he's
amazing all around, dude.
Are on a collision course.
Oh, of course, of course.
And Davey Boy Smith Jr. looks fucking dynamite, man. He looks like he's in the best shape of his career.
And he had like the little back and forth with the forearms with Gotch, and like fucking Gotch, dude. His titties are mesmerizing. I can't help it.
You're into the man titties, huh?
I can't help it, dude. Right. I don't know what it is. It's like Zicky Dice. I fucking mentioned on the NWA Facebook page how, like, I'm like how he's growing on me, but that, like, fat guy, that skinny, that little roll kind of jiggles and it hypnotizes me. Fucker sends me a picture of somebody being hypnotized.
Hey.
Sicky Dice, man.
That's your guy now.
Could be my new favorite.
He's your homeboy.
But yeah, like, I don't know. It just fucking, like, look, more power to him, but it just fucking, it throws me off. It's weird.
How'd you feel about MJF losing?
I mean, he's lost before. He dropped to Hammerstone in the fucking in the.
That's
Opera
true. Well,
Cup.
He lost. Now that they can't tag challenge for the tag titles.
But it's weird too because they were like Marshall's by himself because Ross, bless you, is over in Israel promoting some other nonsense, which I take for a shoot because the Von Erichs do go to Israel quite a bit.
Do they?
But it's weird. Like, so like all of like the Dynasty is out to fuck with them, and they got banned, and then they came out anyway, except for Holiday. I don't know where he was. And then, like, Filthy Tom is at ringside, and he keeps trying to get, like, he was trying to get involved, and he didn't. So, like, fucking Marshall Von Erich holds off four guys all by himself. Like, that was kind of like, either you're going to attack him or you're not, you know?
Right.
It's kind of weird.
I got to talk into the mic, sorry.
And the other thing was, Rich Bocchini was fucking with Tom Lawler something terrible on commentary. Like, if I was Lawler, and that shit was a shoot, I would have fucking, like, choked Bocchini out of his fucking chair. He was saying some nasty shit, dude. It wasn't like little picking and prodding. It was more like, you fucking cheated. You fucking turned your back. You're a piece of shit. I was like, wow, really?
Wow, he called him a piece of shit, huh?
Well, something like that. But it was like completely like over the top for a commentator to like do shit like that.
Out of line, you'd say.
Oh, absolutely. Like Gorilla Monsoon, who could handle his own, like wouldn't come at right. somebody like that. You know what I'm saying?
Was it as out of line as Sol Renaro sitting in on NWA Into the Fire?
No, I like that shit. I thought that was awesome. Great. And it was just enough like to start getting in Royce Isaac's head, you know? Like it was like, oh, you got to be watching your girl, man. You got to watch out. You got to pay attention. Like, what the fuck, dude? Pay attention. He's right.
Royce Isaac's needs – he's going to – look –
I don't know, man. He and May Valentine hasn't given it up for him yet either.
No,
we learned that last week.
And look, I think Royce needs to listen to May. She's the voice of reason.
Yeah, I don't know. She just got to give it up for a second or two.
All right, Kevin found.
Kevin found something.
He called people strawberries, and then it was get ready to bow down and something and peel my potatoes or something like that, which was. I guess it's not that bad now that I think about it.
No, it's pretty fucking stupid. But
peel my potatoes.
1998 NWO, that kind of fits.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as I thought it was.
Hot pile of
garbage.
I thought
it was worse.
No, there's probably worse out there. There's probably worse out there.
But that's what I was thinking of.
Look, Conan's given tons of people opportunities. People we know, LAX, giving those guys tons of opportunities. But it's weird. Like, I think Conan kind of worked himself into that position. And now people call him out on it, like Psychosis too. He's like, he's a fucking beaten old man. What's he going to do about it? You know what I'm saying? Is anybody coming to Conan's defense? Has anybody retaliated against Psychosis too?
I don't think so. Well, I haven't seen anything.
I don't know.
I haven't been keeping my eyes open for it, though.
Well, it is what it is.
And Ricky Starks successfully defended the TV title against your boy Zicky Dice.
Great match. They work well together. Zicky Dice could really go in the ring. And they mentioned the Lucky 7 rule.
I love it.
7 successful defenses, which include time limit draws.
Yeah.
And the TV champion gets a shot at the world title.
Oh.
So if you defend or retain 7 defenses in a row, you're up for a title shot. That's cool as hell. And Trevor Murdoch's getting a shot at the national championship.
Which is bullshit.
Why is that?
What, he thinks he can just come out and say the fucking Aaron Stevens, the karate master? Was a chicken shit.
Karate.
And he ran from Scott Steiner. So now Trevor Murdoch just goes to the office and says, hey, y'all, I need a match against the Karate Man. And they gave him one?
Hey, man, Trevor Murdoch got a lot farther in that tournament than I thought he would.
That's great. Give him a fucking gold star. Who says he's the number one contender? Because he wants it? There should be a line out the door for it. I don't like Trevor Murdoch.
Wow. Hot take. Hot take.
I don't like his bullshit. You think you could just go to the office and be like, I want a match against him?
Yeah, why not?
Isn't that how it's always been?
Yeah.
No, there should be a hierarchy.
Hierarchy, yeah. Well.
Yeah. There should be, like, who was the number two contender after Scott Steiner? This is why we need rankings in the NWA.
Ah, get out of here with your stupid rankings.
Hey, you know what I didn't like?
What?
What did you like, Tony?
Melina's inability continuously to cut a promo My God. She's been in the business that long, she can't cut a promo, and she's supposed to be the mouthpiece of this female group? Come on,
because
man.
She got into the business because she could do a split and let her fucking butt cheeks hang out.
Ooh, man.
And she probably had a lot more direction there than here.
She's probably one of the only people that can answer questions about Batista. Anyway.
How many ticks do you think they do? Probably not a lot.
What do you mean?
For NWA Power.
Ticks?
Takes? For promos. They don't sit there for...
Oh, no. They run through it. That's it. It's all one shot. That's all. They ain't got time for that. Thunder Rosa's going to... They're going to make her a face, dude. They're going to make her a
Absolutely.
Face.
Absolutely.
It's going to happen. I think Allison Kay is going to wind up teaming up with Melina.
You think so?
I think that's where they're looking. If not Melina, then maybe she gets back with her buddy over
Marty
there.
Marty Bell?
Yes.
I don't like that.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's just weird, though, because if you make Thunder Rosa a face, what's going to happen to Allison Kay? Because Allison Kay's kind of like, she's a face, she's a heel.
Yeah,
she's
but
kinda...
they beat the shit out of each other. Maybe she has a respect for Thunder Rosa, and to have Thunder Rosa stand up to Melina, maybe she becomes an ally to Allison Kay.
Well, they're going to have their rematch tomorrow night at 6:05.
Yeah, so buddy.
I can't wait. Going to be a banger.
How do you feel about the Nick Aldis, Marty Scurll stipulation?
I was like, what in the fuck? And then I was like, all right, this is kind of cool. This is kind of cool. Kev, you like it?
Sure.
Kevin either doesn't remember or didn't watch
it. I thought he had some sage, like something to say. That's why
no, I don't think I watched it. No, when he touches the second button, that means he doesn't have anything to say. If he goes to the top one.
I don't think I watched Power last week, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah, so if Marty Scurll loses his match to Nick Aldis, he has to give everybody in the arena a refund. And that match is going to take place at the Crockett Cup?
Yes. Yeah, I would have remembered that.
So they got some time to simmer this thing.
Yes, I love it. I think it's a unique stipulation.
I'm telling you, man, I've never...
And it plays into the story where Nick is calling out Marty because Marty's got this big new contract.
Yeah.
And Marty's trying to play it up like, I don't want the contract. It's not about the money. I want the belt.
And he's like, oh, but isn't it? Isn't it always about the money, Marty?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. Marty Scurll might be the new, like, smartest man in wrestling.
It's a good story, man.
That story, and then still working New Japan, still working Ring of Honor.
Showed up last Monday night when we were done here. He showed up at the U.S. New Japan show, and he challenged Jay White at Supercard of Honor.
Good. Fuck Jay White.
Wow.
Fuck that guy.
That seems a bit harsh.
Deflated John Tenta and his fucking dumb
ass. Is it Jay White, Marty Scurll at Supercard?
Yes.
Whoop, whoop.
All right. I thought I was thinking of something. I thought Jay White was in a different match.
Villain Enterprises lost the six-mans, didn't they?
They did. To Bandito, Flamita, and...
Phil Rea.
No, I have it. I have it in my notes here, actually. I watched it, too. It was a while ago.
Yeah, we may have talked about it.
Bandito, Flamita, and Ray Horse.
Horse Hogan.
Horse.
Oh, that Taurus guy that dresses like the bull?
Black Taurus.
Yeah, he wrestled Moose on Impact last week, too. So these guys get around.
They were doing the tapings in Mexico City.
Oh, that's right. They're still in Mexico. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they announced a ton of shit for their There's No Place Like Home show.
Impacted. Why, are they going back to Canada, or are they going...
No,
to,
for that, when
the,
they all...
The TNA reunion.
Reunion show.
Oh, hey, real quick, speaking of which, before we leave NWA, no word on Ken Anderson, what's been going on with him, how he was hurt, if he's still around.
Not yet.
It's just weird.
Well, tomorrow night will be the second taping.
One last thing. What do you think of the new tag champs?
That was great.
Unbelievable.
James Storm pretending to be all banged up.
Loaded out of his mind, and Eli's giving Galley the business. When I ask you a question, you say, yeah. Can I ask you a question, Joe Galley?
Yeah.
No. Those two are gold together.
Yeah, it was good stuff. It was real good stuff. I like the tag champs. It's interesting to see where they go with that. And have we seen the end of the Eddie Kingston Pope story? Probably not.
I don't know. I don't like the Pope.
Really?
What? Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know why. I don't think Kingston and Homicide really needed to mess with the Pope. Something's going on there. I don't like it.
Well, you'll have to tune into NWA Power
tomorrow
night.
I don't miss a week, brother. Never miss a week of Power.
And I just want to touch on the Impact while we're in this realm, and you brought up Ken Anderson.
Ooh, touch it.
Place Like Home show taking place WrestleMania weekend. They've announced that they're bringing back the Ultimate X match.
Okay.
And that Amazing Red and...
Uh-oh.
Saban?
Disco Inferno.
Oh.
Disco Fever.
Will be part of the show.
Yeah.
I think they're also bringing back Saban. I think Scott Steiner is going to be there. I think.
Yeah.
New technology.
New technology and Tony's fat wrists. They probably had a button and then we were dissed. Can we talk about the ending of Monday Night Raw versus the ending of SmackDown this week?
I love the ending of SmackDown. I loved it. You know why I loved
it? Exactly the type of people they're catering to then.
When they dumped the dog food on Baron Corbin, on King Corbin's head, when they were all posing, taking pictures with him all fucking like crucified and slopped up and shit, I popped for that. I thought that was funny as fuck. How did Raw end, by the way?
With Randy Orton beating the shit out of Edge.
Oh, why you gotta bring it down, bro?
Dude, it was
because you asked
done
the question
so well.
Oh yeah, it was.
It's the first time when I got home.
But it wasn't a feel good moment.
I don't want a feel good moment.
You should
watch the fucking Oprah Winfrey Network if you want a feel good moment.
I'm sorry. It's just that with the tragedy that happened to Edge, and then the stock fucking plummeted like $30 a
share.
Well,
that's because they fired a bunch of people.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Wait, you're comparing the tragedy of what happened to Edge? Like it's a real life.
Wow, look at corporate Kevin doesn't care about
Kevin
Edge.
Kevin defending the fucking stock crash over here.
Listen, Edge, wow. Edge is the reason why I'm in the business to begin with.
Wow. Oh, there you go.
Uncle Edge.
So you don't
Uncle
think,
Edge.
You don't think what Randy Orton did to Edge was tragic?
To tragic. Me?
No, corporate Kevin.
I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed Randy Orton trying to end Edge's career?
It's a story.
Why
is it a story? Kevin, corporate Kevin?
I think there was some real feelings.
He's on the fence
there.
Here. I don't know what's going on.
This might have been some legit shit going
on. I'm confused
on.
Now.
Wait, but just I'm corporate. I want what's best for the company. That's a good story.
Yeah, but what if Edge's career is over again? We just got him back.
Then he had a whole whopping one day. That's great.
And you're okay with
it. This day.
Wow.
I see clear. Nah, I love Edge. I'm a big Edge guy.
I think I would assume you'd be a little more upset about this. But you're a big picture
but,
guy.
But, I mean, I had something to do with this story because in the meeting we said, how are we going to progress the story?
Right.
How are we going to make it happen? Edge eliminated Randy Orton from the Rumble.
Right.
So is Randy Orton.
Sorry.
Good job, you fucking soundboard wizard.
What was that? What? Can you just.
It's a fucking Shaq commercial.
Okay.
There. That's what you were looking for last week.
Yeah, but now he's zoned out. He just zoned him out. He's going to rock out to fucking Shinedown or whatever this is.
Bound to lie.
All right, let me ask you this. Did you talk about the Matt Riddle, Brock Lesnar situation in your meeting?
Bro.
No, that did not come up. Because I don't know what that is.
Okay, well, according to WWE official, Lesnar is said to have approached Matt Riddle backstage at the Rumble, grabbed his shoulder to get his attention, then said, "Kid, you might as well stop saying my name and tagging me and shit, because you and I will never work together, ever." And then he walked away. He didn't give Matt Riddle a chance to respond.
Has Riddle been doing that?
Yeah. Just like he did when he was challenging Goldberg.
Bro. I think he could take Goldberg. I don't think he can take Brock.
You don't think so?
I think he could take Brock.
I think he could take Brock, too.
You think Riddle could take Brock?
Absolutely.
Brock's lost before in the Octagon.
Riddle, it was undefeated when they fired him from UFC for smoking pot.
Yeah, but I mean,
and he's younger.
And he's hungrier. And he don't give a fuck.
And I don't see Brock throwing off his flip-flops.
I don't know enough about the sport to make it, but come on, like.
And honestly, if Matt Riddle got his ass kicked, he wouldn't care. He'd be like, I fucking lost.
I feel like Brock is a kind of guy that, no matter how much experience he might have, like if you get into like a straight up like one on one, like fight, he'll overpower you so quick that you won't have a chance.
Kevin, I've learned something in the MMA game.
All right, here we go. Corporate UFC.
No.
Oh,
no. It's none of it is predictable. All it takes is Brock to slip on the mat to get hit with a fucking uppercut, or
but like.
Sure, if they fought like 10 times, maybe Brock will beat him like 8 out of the 10 times.
Every man with two hands has a fighting chance.
Was Riddle an amateur wrestler?
I don't know his background.
Brock Lesnar, all he has to do is fucking double leg and fucking.
Brock Lesnar's old, though. That shit catches up to you.
Yeah, and if he catches like a rogue right hand under the
chin. No, that's fair. If Matt sneaks one in, yeah,
look,
for sure.
Man, look at all the. I mean, I know you said you don't know much about the sport, but if you look at all the MMA legends, like. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Chuck Liddell. Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, she got fucked up by Holly Holm. Yeah, but
the, wasn't the who was it? Holly Holmes or Cyborg? Are they the same?
No, Holly Holm took the belt from.
No,
the,
it was Holly Cyborg Holm. Holly Holm never.
I haven't heard from her ever since that.
No, because she got her ass kicked in her first defense.
It was Holly Holmes beat Ronda, and then I think it was Amanda Nunes. And I could be wrong about that, but let me look up the Ronda.
No, look it up. Keep talking.
I don't know, man. Just Brock is just like a different kind of like.
Sure, but you got to
animal
if. If he could with if Matt Riddle, let's say they had an MMA fight, if Matt Riddle could withstand his bull rush, he's gonna get gassed.
Absolutely right. Holly Holm beat her in the second round by a kick to the head, which was awesome. In 59 seconds in, Amanda Nunes beat her in the first round in 48 seconds TKO with punches.
All right, so let's go down this rabbit hole now. Let's go Matt Riddle verse, and I'm gonna ask you,
like, okay,
and I'm gonna ask both of you guys,
like, in a fight,
in a fight,
okay,
fight. All right, so Matt Riddle verse. Jack Swagger or Jake Hager.
I've never seen a Jake Hager MMA fight, but I would have to lean towards Hager because I think he's bigger.
And Hager's still doing it. He's a younger guy.
Right.
All right. Matt Riddle versus Bobby Lashley.
Here's the thing, though. Has Lashley ever really been tested? Like, where's he fought? Just like Strikeforce and stuff?
I'm just saying eye tests. Like,
because a lot of people see UFC, and then there's a big drop-off.
Well, there's a huge drop-off, because all those other... Because you can't keep up with the UFC's money and pizzazz. It's where all these old fighters go to die. Like, Fedor against Quentin Jackson was a fucking abysmal. Rampage Jackson looked like he didn't belong in a ring. It's just like when Ken Shamrock fought fucking Kimbo Slice on Strikeforce or Bellator or whatever.
I forgot that was a thing.
All right, maybe take the UFC out of the equation. What about a Matt Riddle versus a Shelton Benjamin?
Like in a fight? I don't know.
Yeah, are we talking MMA? Or are we talking college wrestling?
I guess for the sake of the conversation, we'll go a sanctioned MMA fight.
Does Shelton Benjamin have an MMA background?
Probably not. I think he'd have to go with Riddle on that, just for striking ability.
He trained Brock Lesnar.
The MMA game has evolved so much from where it started. You can't just be like a one. Like, Shelton Benjamin can go to the UFC if he wants, but if he's just a wrestler, he's going to get his ass handed to him.
But okay, in UFC, but don't you always hear like the expression, "Don't ever get into a fight with an amateur wrestler," because the amateur wrestler will always take you down, and once he has you down, there's no getting up.
But that would play into a Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. Like, he's more comfortable on his back. So you can take me down, but I'm going to fucking choke you out with my gi and my right hand.
That's fair.
Like, Dan Severn did well, but even Dan Severn struggled with like a Hoist Gracie and with Shamrock. And on top of that, like, do you think like just being a one-dimensional person, like even in his prime, like being able to stand up to somebody with like a striking power, like a Brock Lesnar, you know?
I think you're definitely right, though, in terms of the MMA game and the evolution of how everyone is doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu now.
There's a school in every town. Yeah. Like when Brock got into MMA, he was just Brock Lesnar to the bull, and then he lost his first fight. And then gradually over time, he learned more styles so he could stand his own, and he eventually became the UFC champion. Yeah. But again, he also got knocked the fuck out.
I wonder if a Shelton Benjamin or a Dolph Ziggler went to UFC, how they would do.
Dolph Ziggler would get his fucking dick handed to him.
He's
just like Alberto Del Rio, just like CM Punk.
Kent State, Dolph Ziggler was a beast as a wrestler.
Yeah, but
at
when
Kent
you
State.
Think wrestling, do you really think is Kent State like? It's not Ohio State. It's not Minnesota. It's not Penn State.
No, Kent State is legit, from what I understand. And like Iowa, and
Iowa's big. Yeah, yeah, they're a big wrestling school.
No, I think Kent State's right there. I think. I could be, maybe not right there, but I think it's there.
I don't know. Well, I'm in a very uncharted territory.
It's fine.
I don't want to talk out my ass as much as I usually do on this show.
Yeah, we went down a rabbit hole that none of us really know anything about.
According to Tony's favorite guy, Dave Meltzer, AJ Styles is still hopeful for WrestleMania this year with his injury.
But he's so hurt, he's only one style, Kevin.
I heard that.
Rumor around the office is Charlotte Flair is going to challenge Rhea Ripley.
Did Kevin say this? Because I don't believe it unless Kevin came out and said it.
Listen, boys, I can't confirm or deny those reports. But I would like to see it.
It's just weird. It's weird to challenge for... Come on, it's a lesser title, dude.
Yeah, but do you want to see the same match again?
No, I didn't want to see Charlotte win the Royal Rumble to begin with, you know?
Who'd you want to win the Royal Rumble? Who'd you pick?
Ronda Rousey.
Silly head.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
It's also reported that Ronda has no plans to be involved in WrestleMania this year, as of right now.
Good for her.
That makes me sad.
Right?
Because I think she has too much to offer to only do that 1 year and be out of it forever.
Well, maybe she'll be back after Mania. You never know.
All right.
Wasn't she trying to have a kid?
I mean, it doesn't take... I mean...
It takes 9 months.
Yeah, but if she's pregnant...
Right.
And if then she's not,
you
know, then...
It can't just fall out of you and you just jump into wrestling.
Yeah,
right?
But if she wanted to be a part of WrestleMania and she's not pregnant yet, she could be a part of WrestleMania.
What if she gets pregnant at WrestleMania?
Ooh,
pregnancy like on a pole match.
Yeah,
like what if she's going through the back and Otis has some, he left something on the floor from his time
and, like,
looking at the Mandy Rose photo.
There you go.
And she just slips and falls on the...
Yeah, and then, she, you know, a couple weeks later, she's peeing on a stick and it's blue and it's go time.
It's blue, lovely, lovely.
Nice. Apparently, MVP had the last wrestling match of his career on
Thank
Monday Night
God.
Raw.
Thank God.
What?
Wow. Yikes.
Not an MVP fan.
No,
huh?
Just not a good match.
What, his Mysterio match?
I didn't see it, so I can't comment on it.
I mean, I'm not. It wasn't a 5-star Meltzer match, but it was his last match. It was.
Oh, does that mean it's 3 stars? It was not good.
Listen, first of all, Meltzer's rating system is fucking stupid, and I don't.
Oh,
I don't,
listen to this guy.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Corporate Kevin selling out Dave Meltzer.
Listen, I understand.
Is this the edict that nobody should talk to the dirt sheets anymore?
Listen,
that came
down? I get a rating system, but his gaps between a one star and a 4-star is. I'll never understand it. I'll never understand why something is. Like, what's good? Like, when Conrad talks about it, right, he says, well, Meltzer didn't totally shit on it, got a star and a quarter.
I think that's good? I think a 2-star is what they consider a perfectly acceptable technical match. Like, it's like there's nothing – there's flaws, but there's nothing really that you can really, like, really bitch about.
And you have to think about the time he's reading these reviews that he wrote – 20 years ago, that now when you sit down, you look at it, you go, you know what, that was a pretty good match. But at the moment, when you're sitting there watching fucking Starrcade 98 and these fucking type, you know? I completely understand. I don't really understand the parameters of his 5-star rating system. I see where you're coming from, but also you have to take it with a grain of salt. Like, maybe at the time, it didn't come off well, but when you go back and you watch it, some of those...
But even in the time, if he gives something... A star and a quarter, or 2.25 star. Apparently, that's good.
Yeah, like I said, 2 stars is like your perfect normal, not perfect, but your normal average. There's a lot of good. There's some bad, but it's an acceptable match.
And if very rarely something gets 3.25, how good can 2.25 be?
Pretty good.
I don't know. I just never got his line of thinking in terms of his ratings.
He's got a system in place. And
well, he's a lot more successful than I am.
Only he can answer those questions. Kevin, you will be excited to know that the first match for the Saudi Arabia Super Showdown.
Kurt Hawkins, Zack Ryder versus John Cena and Randy Orton.
No. Oh. The Miz and John Morrison will be taking on the New Day.
That's just as good. Love me some dirt sheets.
That's all the news I have for that.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
And Hulk Hogan will be there, though.
Brother!
Oh, will he? Yeah.
Let me tell you something, dude.
Hulk Hogan is confirmed from Saudi Arabia.
He's pushing for one more match.
Of course he is, and none of us want to see it.
I do.
I kind of do.
I was there for Sting and Hogan at Impact, and it was not good.
Well.
Where was that?
Philadelphia.
Of course.
One of those Impact pay-per-views. When they were both past their prime.
Was Hogan, he was wearing like the white shirt and the jeans? Was it like the street
That was
fight?
When he couldn't bump.
I think he was in jeans, but I think he was rocking the red and yellow.
Brother.
I couldn't.
That's not when Jeff Hardy, like Jeff Jarrett came in and like Jeff Hardy like became bad guy and won the belt? No, I don't.
Brother. The Revival asked for the release again.
Oh, they're fucking crybabies, dude. I've never seen 2 fucking grown men cry so much on Twitter. You all shit on us when we want to move on, but then you shit on us when we stay. Make up your fucking minds. How about you make up your mind? Are you going to fucking leave or are you going to fucking stay?
It's not their choice to leave.
Well, it's your choice. Give them their fucking release, Kevin.
Listen, they're too valuable to my company for me just to cut them loose.
You like how I turned
that
on
you? Rogue TNT brand.
You like how I turned that on them?
Just because Luke Harper's going doesn't mean that I have to let the Revival go, too.
Kevin's favorite wrestler sent out a tweet.
Who, Curt Hawkins?
No, Ryback. He's publicly asking Vince McMahon to let Ryback trademark go.
More like begging.
Wasn't created by them, and trying to make someone spend nearly $200K to keep their legal name and brand is pretty unnecessary.
Talk about cry me a river.
Please move on and erase me from your history and programming.
Well, we've already erased him from our history, so there you go.
God, I fucking didn't like Ryback to begin with, so I don't give a shit.
Listen, you no-sell me for an interview once, shame on you. You come on to our podcast, you're all right. Now you're a jerk.
Yeah, you jerk.
AEW Wednesday night.
Aw.
What did you guys think about it?
Did Nyla Rose wrestle?
Nyla Rose did wrestle. She defeated Big Swole.
Oh, that's right. All right. Yeah, I didn't think much of that.
Swole, I love the...
Swole was a little slops.
All right, so you had the Moxley opening promo with Jericho coming out with the Inner Circle.
Yep.
And they somehow felt the need to bring up 10 more J-Brones or 5 more J... Actually, Joey Ace was one of them, so I can't say J-Brones completely. But and that, which I thought was fine. Dude, I'm telling you right now, Moxie and Jericho is money.
Yeah, buddy.
Joey Ace is still the ECPW champ, right?
Very prestigious championship title.
Of course it is, man. It's Big Red.
Yeah, so...
Lots
of
history in that belt.
There was a lot of fun stuff on AEW. Listen, AEW, to me, it's still new enough for me that, like, I can enjoy it very, very much. And, trying to see where I'm going to go with this point here.
So am I.
Yeah, me too.
So, I don't like it more than I like WWE.
Okay.
I don't. But I enjoy it so much when I'm home and I watch it. Like, it's exciting for me to watch. Like, I enjoy the Inner Circle. I enjoy Moxie. I enjoy MJF. Cody is still doing amazing things. SCU. Joey Janela. Was this the one where...
Yes.
Where Kip Sabian and Penelope and Joey Janela just comes out of nowhere and they just both kiss him and he's just like, woo, that's the Scott Hall fingers. So good. So fucking good. Tony, care to chime in here?
No, keep going.
I mean, that was it for
me. That was all you had? Well, the Young Bucks beat the Butcher and the Blade. MJF hired them to take them out. I think what they're doing with these vignettes now, these little videos beforehand, is something they should have been doing with the teams like the Butcher and the Blade, where you're kind of getting introduced to them instead of having them just kind of show up.
Yeah.
They're learning as they go, which I think is fantastic.
Was the Dark Order on this show?
There was a segment after the SCU match where the Dark Order showed up on the screen.
And Christopher Daniels was like calling them out or something like that, and they didn't come out. Because they were okay, yeah.
Ooh, so the Dark Order might be having Luke Harper join them. Was that the rumor?
There's a couple different rumors out there. They're saying,
okay, wait. Don't before you go any further.
There was
another thing. Did you see they put out a little video with the Jabron that wasn't punching Dustin in the head?
I did not see this.
Oh, this was awesome, right? So they finally
they
sewed this up. They watched the videos, and they showed the guy who wasn't punching Dustin in the head.
Okay.
And they were like, bring him to me. And he came there, and he had to apologize. They're like, are you working for Dustin? What's going on? And they did this whole thing, and they threw him out of the group.
Was he still in mask?
Yeah. Oh, no, they didn't show him. It was just like, it was like over his shoulder, and like you hear him like crying and shit. It was fucking awesome.
See,
I'm surprised you guys didn't see it.
I didn't see it on Being the Elite.
I don't know what it was on. I think somebody had posted it on Twitter and I watched it.
But that's how you take something that no one was really supposed to. Unless it was.
I'm surprised they didn't make a bigger deal out of it because it was so well done. It was really cool.
If this was by design the entire time, then that's brilliant. But if not, that's how you take something so ridiculously terrible and make it into something awesome.
Yeah.
Right, of course. No, there's a lot of. What are they saying? They're saying. Brody Lee. They're saying Matt Hardy.
And I also heard they're going to get rid of the Hostile Collective as well.
Nightmare Collective?
Whatever. They're kind of quietly like letting that go.
It's garbage.
Brandi Rhodes is...
She's gorgeous!
Yeah, I mean, she's something to look at, but that's pretty much about it.
Well,
yeah.
We'd say that every week. There's too many dark stables. You have the Butcher and the Blade with
Bunny. Does she still do her cooking show on YouTube?
Cooking with Brandi?
Yes.
I have no idea.
No, I just made that up.
The only one I ever watched was with MJF. It was hilarious.
MJF is so good.
And he's not friends with them anymore, so he won't be on that show anymore.
Yeah, he was
But she's a heel, so maybe he will. I don't know.
He was good on commentary.
He's a heel.
He's always good on commentary.
Motherfucker.
I like how he was live tweeting while he was doing commentary.
See, and it, everything to him just comes so, like seamless and so effortless. Like, every, like on commentary. Like, that's live. Like, not many people can do that. Like, and be in character and just completely just roll the way he did.
Wait, you didn't... Did you watch... You watched the latest MLW, right? You said...
Oh, yes. You said... You sent me a text yesterday. You said, holy shit, MJF.
All right. Did you see what I was talking about? The holy shit, MJF?
No.
You didn't notice?
I didn't.
All right. Dynasty's in the ring. Marshall Von Erich's ready to come out. He takes his ball bag in his tights, and he puts it up on the second rope, and he starts flipping off some guy in the front row. That's when I said, holy shit, ML. That's when I said, holy shit, MJF. Nasty, dude.
That's
his
fantastic.
Package was up on the second rope. I was like, really? Fucking gross.
Cody with Arn beat Kip Sabian.
And that was a weird little thing, right?
Yeah,
little
I didn't really like Arn. That. I don't know. I think it made the referee look stupid. Because the referee was paying more attention to Arn Anderson than he was what was going on in the match. I get it. You're not supposed to see Penelope Ford doing what she's doing. But, like, Arn taking it to the extreme, especially knowing Arn's past and the fact that he kind of built his career on being a rule breaker, you think he'd be a little more, you know, sneaky.
And they threw Arn out of the match,
yeah,
right?
They threw Arn out of the match.
Myron Reed, the ref almost fucked him out of the match, too. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but I think they played it off well.
They should just cut it out. Why did they just cut it?
Myron
Reed's like, count the fucking thing. It's over.
Because it's an injustice.
It's terrible.
Britt Baker continues to be a con.
Yeah, she's kind of
a
moron.
She's a big C word.
This was much better than the one on the boat.
Oh, yeah,
and then she started running down good old JR.
By God. Anybody mention JR doing Blue Chew all the time?
Not on the show.
See, they should, because it's creepy.
Ooh. Did you notice Lexi backstage?
No.
That's DDP's daughter.
Really?
The new interview girl at AEW.
You know, his wife, they're kind of on the...
Divorced.
On the
divorced. He
posted it was official?
Like a month ago, yeah.
I thought they were just walking away or...
Yeah, and Bischoff mentioned it on the old Podski.
That sucks.
They did, so they go back to her, and she's talking with the Bucks and Omega.
The Bucks.
And then a drunk Adam Page stumbles in.
Of course.
And he hands Matt and Nick their nameplates, because apparently they had nameplates made for all the tag teams. And he's like, you can have these, you use these one day, just not soon.
Love Adam Page.
I think it's fantastic.
And he came in the beginning. He came in too, right? And
one
of the young
hold
Bucks,
my beer.
And then he did the flip and the lariat. That was so funny.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. Awesome stuff. Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian beat Angelico and Jack Evans.
Who started the match with Scorpio?
Angelico.
Yeah, he. Ugh.
What?
His fucking chain wrestling was not off the chain, as the kids say. It was on the chain.
They came after that match. They did the weird thing with the Dark Order.
Yes.
Where they're calling out Christopher Daniels, and they said they're going to go after his friends and his family, and Daniels kind of freaked out. Then they played a fucking sick video of Pac.
Oh, that was awesome. And,
which
I guess he was in New York or something.
I don't know where he was, but homeboy needs to put some clothes on. He's going to catch pneumonia.
Yeah, but it was good, though.
Oh, it's awesome. He said he's coming after Kenny Omega this week.
And Moxley.
Yeah, a lot of layers. I like a lot of layers.
Well, he should have been wearing a lot of layers.
He should have. He's going to catch a pneumonia.
Yeah.
And then the main event was Jericho, Santana, Ortiz against Darby Allin and Private Party. And I loved it.
I loved it. Defended with the skateboard.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you just appreciate, like... Here's Chris Jericho, and he's getting in the ring, and he's really giving the rub to all five of these other guys.
Got, like, fucking Private Party. Like, a team that we've seen forever at House of Glory. Another in the ring with fucking Chris Jericho in a main event on TNT. Darby Allin, former guest of the show. LAX! Jericho! It's amazing. And it beats NXT in ratings. So.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you're into, watching the ratings. But then
but I just meant it's... It's a product that
TNT feel comfortable enough to lock down for another 3 years.
Look, and you're okay with Charlotte Flair challenging the ratings losers champion for a match at WrestleMania?
Look, people are into it, man. They want their alternative.
Yes, they Walter their alternatives.
Like, look, the ending to Raw was fantastic. The ending to SmackDown
was
I think is the dumbest dog
Five
shit
and
I've
half
ever
stars.
Seen.
It was dog shit. It was
dog food. That's why I won't watch WWE.
You said dog shit. I thought you meant dog. You meant to say dog food.
I said dog shit.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, you meant to say dog food.
Whatever.
Post-match, the Inner Circle attack Private Party and Darby Allin, and then...
Of course they did.
Good old One Eye. And you know what? It's the little things. Moxley's got the eye patch on, and when he was getting jumped at the beginning of the show, it was moved, and he's got another thing covering
like
his eye.
There's a bandage underneath. Yeah.
It's the little things.
Like, imagine if he didn't have that there, we would have noticed it.
And he worked New Japan with the eye patch.
God bless him.
Well, there you go.
Jean-Pierre
LaMox.
How fucking
awesome is that?
It's great. He's selling. It's what he's supposed to do.
Oh, all right.
God bless him.
There's some New Japan Pro Wrestling talk hopefully we can get to after we do Tony's Wizards Rewind. And there's some ROH news I'd like to get to. But you know what the kids... Oh, and NXT. We got Dusty Road Champions or whatever the fuck they're called.
Dusty Rhodes Champions.
But you know what the kids are saying on the streets.
Back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcast.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at Inconclusive Pod or Facebook.com/Inconclusive Breakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Doubles.
Yeah, I bought tickets for one fucking Devils game, and they won't leave me alone.
How rude.
My name is Colin, and I want you to be my guest at the upcoming game, which includes an exclusive event with complimentary food.
Is that my buddy Colin? Is that
Colin? No, it's not. It's not your buddy Colin. It's a different Colin. Sorry, Matt. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Jesus,
but that really stuck
Christ,
in my craw.
Dude, just fucking unsubscribe.
Or just, there's probably going to be a lot of
call, dude. Oh, I blocked
God.
The number.
All
they
right.
find another number to call
we
from.
We don't have enough time for your petty nonsense.
Devils.
Whoa!
Fuck hockey. Yeah.
Whoa! We want to take this time to thank Fuck those Canada that support too. Us over at the Shining Patreon. Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can sign up and support.
Shine up.
Support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. If you enjoy what you're hearing, please support the show through our Patreon. If you can't monetarily, write a review on iTunes, on Stitcher, share our stuff on social media. That's all free, and it's just a click of a button. So with that said, let's thank the queen of the Shining
Wizards,
Hotline. Kathy Hummer, the king of the Shining Wizards, Mr. Manuel Crackville, the Smoke Show, Cindy Ardone, Danny and Anthony Rusinello, known to everybody as AOP. Mike Martinelli. Ryan Arthur from Elementary Brewery. Brewing Company?
The Brewerly.
Elementary.com. That's Elementary.com. Great local brew out here in Hackensack. We're going to thank, of course, Sean Toe, Sean Callejo, Brett Simonello, Kate Hensler. Why can't I fucking talk?
Jesus.
Kate Hensler from OnDeckIC.com. Matt Grifo, no relation to the KJG.
No. Who is this guy?
Matt Mellinger. Kenny Hawsey, Scotch Drinkmore. Corrine Jansen from LoudAndFierce.com. If you're into heavy metal, check her out. Thomas Kops, the Moot Spock.
Bot.
Whatever.
Mott Spock, they rhyme.
Benjamin Martinez, the Ultimate Horrier. Jay Cop, Big Cop of Pump. Danny Douglas from DeathmatchOutlaws.com.
Nice.
Christine Friesendorf. Mark
Gossler.
Mark Parolini?
Yeah.
And, of course, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Kev. I
you
know
always
what you
do,
mean.
Matt. You always do.
Someone's got to.
That's right.
Oh, Tony.
Oh, Jesus. What are you swallowing, like, goodies over there? What the
yes,
fuck
I am.
Was that?
Do you want to possibly announce our guest for next week?
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
That's an awesome idea.
Once in a while, my friend. Once in a while.
Our great friend of Ooh. The Shining Wizards from overseas in Germany. The alpha female, Jazzy Gabriel, will be calling us next week at the top of the show because it's going to be 1 a.m. for her, and we don't want to keep her pretty head up any later than she wants to be. So,
and just for those who might not be familiar with her from episodes past, you've seen her on NXT UK as recently as, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? So she's moving on to greener pastures, and we can't wait to talk to her about what she's got in the old hopper.
She does have a brand new wrestling promotion. She's starting up at Sirius Germany on Twitter. It's spelled Sirius like Sirius XM Germany. So give that a follow and be sure to tune in next week. When
yes,
we talk
be sure to tune in.
I might be having a stroke. I
you
don't
could
fucking know.
Be, dude.
Holy shit. Be sure to tune in next week as Jazzy calls in from wherever she is. Where is she?
Germs.
Is she in Germany?
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
Perfect.
Matt, it's about that time.
To break the funk, the rhythm, and the rhyme.
That's right.
What do you got for us, Tony?
We've got our first edition of the Wizards Rewind for 2020.
Oh, boys.
We don't have theme music for it, so I'll go right into this. We are going back to the Reliant Astrodome. WrestleMania 17, April 1st, 2001. Before people were put on no-fly list, everybody was converging to the Astrodome.
That's the intro I got. Sticking with it.
All right.
You guys had a chance to watch it. You have any overall thoughts on the show before we get into it proper?
I do.
Yes.
I love this show.
It's fucking amazing. It's amazing.
And, like, and in my thought process after watching it, I was like, when you think of WrestleManias, you always point, at least in vintage WrestleManias, you always point to what stands out. Like, you go to WrestleMania 3, it's Andre Hogan, it's Steamboat Savage. Like, you go to WrestleMania 6, it's Warrior Hogan. You know what I mean? Like, and so on and so on. You know, WrestleMania 13 is basically Austin Brett. This WrestleMania, I was like, oh, it's going to be, you know, it's Austin Rock. It's Vince Turner, you know, that. But there's so much more on this show.
Tons more.
That constitutes what you can turn to justify this as being the greatest, one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time. And the more I thought about it, I was like, oh my God, this is the first of this. This is, I mean, you had, like, I don't want to, I mean, we can get into it, but like, there was so much on this show that you could point to as being the defining moment of the show.
A lot of meat on the bone.
Exactly. Lots of bones and lots of meats, boys.
I would definitely, I don't think I'm going out on a limb saying this. Definitely a top five WrestleMania.
I would 100% agree.
Oh, 100%, absolutely. I would make the argument this is the greatest WrestleMania ever.
Okay.
I would definitely make that argument, and I don't think I would get too many people disagreeing with
it. I don't think I can let go of my nostalgia enough for when I was young to put that there.
But, yeah, but like you said, top to bottom, this thing is fucking stacked and jacked. Even the matches I really wasn't crazy about.
That's every WrestleMania, though. I don't want to be a hypocrite.
And I want to go with Matt on this because I think this is also the first WrestleMania where it was almost 4 hours long, right? Is that like one of
Yeah.
And there, I was like, all right, did we really need this or that? But that's totally nitpicking. Like, did we really need Eddie Guerrero versus Test?
I actually really like that match.
That was a great match.
Did we really need the gimmick battle royal?
Yes, we did. Dude.
And I'll tell you why.
Dude, you needed that break at that point in the show, and it was perfect.
You could have put fucking China and Ivory in that position.
That match lasted 3 minutes.
Yeah. So did the gimmick battle royal.
No,
7 seconds.
No, the entrances alone were like seven.
Oh, my God.
The entrances, the commentary between Heenan and Gene Okerlund was fucking hilarious.
And this is a big moment because this is the first time that both of these guys have been back since WCW folded.
Yeah, 3 months earlier.
Yeah, a week ago.
Yeah, that was it. It was a week earlier.
But the first time back in WWE.
Right. Well, don't forget, Heenan was gone from WCW for a while at this point.
And I think this was, correct me if I'm wrong, was this after he had his first battle with the old C word?
No, I don't think so. I think this was before.
Is it before?
Yeah, because he came out. He spoke fine. His voice was the same way I remember.
Yeah, full face. He was good.
I wasn't sure if he was undergoing some stuff before this. I didn't look it up, so I don't know.
Well, if he was, he definitely wasn't showing any ill effects at
this
point.
But this is like the first time these guys are back. And like, I don't even know if Mean Gene was doing Confidential, that show, yet at this point. But
like, no, I think he was still with WCW through all of the
through
the Natural Born Thrillers because they were
he was there
didn't he call Mike Sanders a jack off or some shit
like that.
All right, so you're right, so the Confidential
was
later.
That was at least into 2000 that he did that, and I think the first Confidential was Shawn Michaels admitting that he was in on Montreal. No?
Yes, I actually watched that when they put that on the.
Do you don't remember when that aired? I remember watching it too. I don't remember when that came up either.
Find out right now.
All right, well, we could look at that. Opening match, Intercontinental Champion Chris Jericho. How's that for a fucking name, dude? This is 19 years ago.
It's crazy.
And he's opening WrestleMania against William Regal. This was the P and the T fucking build up to this match.
The P and the T.
The build up with Jericho came out as Doink, and he fucking put him in the Lion Tamer, made him tap out, all that great shit. This is a good match, 7 minutes. You got the story of the fucking Regal pulling the turnbuckle, Jericho hurting his shoulder. And it was just weird because the fucking Lion Salt out of nowhere, and he gets the three with it.
I think the match served its purpose.
It did. It got people into it, and you know what? It was technically sound, fucking great up and down. I really liked it.
All right, so this the Confidential with Shawn Michaels aired a little over a year later.
Oh, so
May 25th, 2002.
Okay. You know what I didn't like? The build to this. Regal stuck Jericho in all these shit matches to fuck with him. He had a 4-on-1 against the Right to Censor. And then he had a 2-on-1 against the Dudleys a couple weeks later.
He was the commissioner.
But he was such a dick.
He did all this shit.
Such a dick.
When I think of this match and seeing Regal in the opening match of WrestleMania, it just reminds me of how many times they tried to give him something, and he always got in his own way to fuck it up. Like they tried to push him like 6 different times, and every single time it was either a wellness violation or this and that. But in terms of this match alone, like he was great as a commissioner, but as a performer, I never really bought him in WWE till a lot later. Like as like a character, like a believable guy. Like that's just me.
No, I was fine with him here. I loved me some William Regal. I thought it was a perfect opener. Actually, this is what I did.
Well, Jericho makes it huge. You pop that crowd with the Jericho stuff.
Yeah, and Jericho had only been in, what, about a year and a half 99? At this point?
99?
Yeah, so about a year and a half at this point.
It was like
point,
August
no?
99, yeah. So.
All right, almost 2 years at this point. But still, Jericho. And look at where he is now. Look at all he's done since
then.
Well,
think about it. WrestleMania 18, he headlined with Triple H a year later.
Yeah.
As the undisputed champion.
Yeah. Well, headliner Jace.
I mean, they went on last. So,
they went on last. That's the headliner. That's the way I always see it. I don't know about you guys.
I think that's the one WrestleMania where I don't see it as being that.
Well,
I don't.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Going into it, I don't think you.
No.
I don't think you expected it to play as well as it did.
That's 100% a great point.
I could have done without the next match.
Okay, wait, before you get into that.
Sorry.
This is the way I looked at things. Like, I'm not going like A+, B for each match. What I was doing, I was doing a plus minus, and I was thinking like zero's like kind of like just there. But like, as you go up, it's like plus two could be the highest, minus two is going to be like the worst.
It's like hockey.
So I was kind of doing like a scale like that. Nice. This match, I gave 1.5. I thought that highly of it, even though it was a short match. I don't know what you guys think.
The match itself was awesome.
I thought the match was perfect. I think putting Jericho in there with Regal, they're both familiar with each other. They both know how to tell a story, and they used their 7 minutes wisely.
Yeah, it was perfect use of 7 minutes.
I just think that they had so many stop and starts with Regal that it was just like, all right, I get it. Like, even going up to the point where he won the King of the Ring, and like years.
But he
later.
Was the commissioner here, and I thought that was a perfect role for him. And he was kind of doing all this dicky shit to Jericho before they got this match. And this was around Brass Nux time too, wasn't it? I don't know.
The power of the punch? That was later.
That was later. Okay.
Maybe a little later. Maybe not. I don't know. Don't quote me.
So before we get to this match, which Matt already said he could do without, APA and Jackie in the background, when Bradshaw's rolling off all the fucking historical things that happened at the Astrodome.
I fucking hate Bradshaw.
But it was cool, man. It was a cool moment.
Did you, Tony, how many of those names did you recognize that he rattled
off? A handful. Not a lot, but a handful. There were a few of them that I
didn't
remember.
He went into the book of Mick Foley cheap pops, and he got his cheap pops.
Yeah. Okay, but that built up their match, and he's like, all right, I'm ready to kick some ass.
Built up their match? The APA sucked.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
They sucked.
Dude, those backstage things were incredible. I said it. Incredible.
That's fine. I don't agree with you.
The backstage segments with the APA, the office, and I think they were still called the Acolytes then.
Yeah, because what's his name announced them? Fink announced them as the Acolytes when they came down. So that leads to our next match, the Right to
Why
Censor.
You're such a rush.
Well, because I've got a lot to get to, Kevin. Okay. This is only match number two, and there's not much to talk about. The Right to Censor versus the APA and Taz, which is a weird pairing. I hate the fucking Right to Censor's theme music.
I hate Taz and his fucking Adidas pull-off fucking pants. Yeah.
But you didn't mind it when fucking Rock was wearing his outfit all those years?
Rock had a reason to do it, at least.
Bitch tits?
Yeah.
Rock was the Rock. He went from poofy-haired Rocky Maivia, die, Rocky, die.
Okay.
Taz was the human suplex machine.
He was a monster,
fuck
dude.
Your slut rat lesbian whore, Shane Douglas. To now he's in a throwaway 6-man tag match at WrestleMania fucking Adidas pants.
That was his idea.
It's a payday.
From all accounts.
Kim.
It's a payday.
Yeah, I know. He had a family. I get it.
Dude, Right to Censor was a very underrated stable.
They had underrated people in there. As a stable, they deserved to be where they were.
Stevie Richards was awesome in that role. And the fact that you had two ready-made people there in... Good Godfather and Val Venus in there. It made perfect sense to put them in there.
Bull Buchanan, it's a sin that they didn't do more with him.
No, it's not.
No, dude.
I'll tell you why it's not.
He could fucking move.
He could move, but he had no personality. He had the personality of a fucking...
That's why you have Stevie Richards with him.
And that's why they put him with John Cena as B-Square.
How'd that work out?
Terrible.
Exactly. How did the Truth Commission work out? How did the freaking Montreal Swords...
He was
Swords.
In the Truth Commission?
Yeah.
The Montreal Swords?
Yeah, him and the two guys from the Truth Commission ended up being a weird tag team that only were on Shotgun Saturday night.
The Montreal Swords?
No, that's not what they were called.
I learned something new.
They wore the Montreal...
But you sold that like you fucking knew something. The Montreal Swords.
I forget what they were called. But they were only on Shotgun Saturday night versus like the Quebecers and who were that?
This match should have been on Shotgun Saturday night.
You're right.
Fucking garbage.
Taz tripped a lot in this fucking match. He got shot into the ropes. He almost fell over. Fucking Goodfather, he almost tripped over him.
And at this point, he's still a commentator, right? He's still doing commentary for SmackDown.
Who's that?
Taz.
Yeah, because there was a lot of fucking videos that he was on, wasn't there? I think so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, I only know this because I watched the two Raws and SmackDowns after WrestleMania.
After or before? Oh, after?
After.
Yeah. I watched the Raw after.
I wanted to see what was going on because I don't remember... watching this at all when I was in my youth.
I just also didn't like that the Godfather kept using the hoe train, even though like it didn't.
You know
fit.
What? Yeah, he's against that now. He's got to come up with a new finisher.
Yeah, I didn't.
First
like
of all, that was
all.
Never his finisher.
Whatever. This fucking stupid move. He's got to come up with a better one. He can't just do it now if he's going to be good.
Unless the commentators created something for it. Maybe called the no train or the.
I don't think they did anything. I think they just talked over each other.
I thought Heyman and JR did a good job with
Fuck
the show.
Heyman was awful. Heyman was bad.
You listen to JR during the show, though, like, and you listen to him now on AEW, he sounds pretty much the same. It's just that he doesn't have really people there helping him to cover him for himself.
Yeah, I did not enjoy him. Paul Heyman should be embarrassed to even bring up the name ECW when these guys are in the ring.
Oh, stop it.
He should.
His promotion just ended a month earlier.
Because of him.
Well, he's still going to bring it up.
It has zero merit. It means nothing.
But when WWE owns all the fucking games in town, who gives a shit?
Yeah, but they weren't using ECW at that point. At that point, it's just, this guy was a champion of a dead promotion.
He was the ECW champion on WWF television, stupid. You don't remember this?
I do, when he lost to Triple H?
Yeah!
And he never really recovered from that?
Yeah!
Yeah, a year ago?
Yeah!
When the company was still alive?
Yeah!
But not in 2001 when the company was folded?
Yeah!
So why point out the fact that he is a champion of a dead promotion?
Because Heyman made it, dude. That was his creation. Look, if you were a commentator on Raw and there was like Matt's belly flop promotions back in the 80s, you wouldn't fucking try to bring it up?
Bring
of course
up my
you would.
Dead failing promotion?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
Because it means zero.
Baby to nobody else, but it meant something to you. I can't hate on him for doing that.
I didn't like
ECW is part of history. So much so that the WWE brought it back 5 years later.
I think it still has some name value.
They resurrected his champ. Did they resurrect WCW?
Yes,
that's a whole nother rabbit
hole.
No,
they brought back ECW.
No,
so
we're
going to
go down this because I got questions about this WCW thing.
When the invasion was done, Booker T was still the 5-time WCW champion. Yeah. Like, so they still said it.
Ugh, I hate it.
And especially when, you know, ECW legends like...
Don't you start. So what do you give this?
Like
how many
Shannon
fucking
Moore.
Zeros or pluses
I
or
had
whatever?
This as a half, but the more you guys talk me out of it, I make this a zero. So this is kind of like in the middle for me.
This was... it was fine for what it was.
It was fine. I didn't hate it.
If it was going to be on the show, it did its job. It didn't need to be on the show, but it was, so it was fine.
So that was 4 minutes that Matt will never get back. We got a little bit in the back with Stephanie.
A little bit of the bubbly.
Trish Stratus, the whole wheelchair thing with Linda McMahon.
Let me
building
ask
the
you
suit.
A question.
Building the whole
Why
story.
Does it seem like all the McMahons want to fuck each other?
Because they do. You don't remember Daddy's Little Girl and all that nonsense?
It was on her shirt. I remember it.
Remember, it's fucking creepy.
The
wedding, him looking down at the old cleavage ski?
Two notes. One, Stephanie looks awesome in the jumpsuit. Two her
notes.
Hair looks fucking awful.
Stephanie's underrated dime piece.
That teased hair? You don't
like
that?
No, she was fine here. As she got older, when she started getting jacked up,
don't mind the kids that she popped out, and that probably took a little toll on her body.
I don't
mind
that.
When she got jacked, that's where your problem is.
I don't mind that.
The fact that she's in shape bothers you.
I didn't mention having kids wrecking her. Dude,
underrated
I'm
dime
fine
piece.
Fine with that. Yeah, I agree with Kevin for that.
All right, move, let's go.
We got our three-way match for the Hardcore Championship. You can ugh all you want, you fucking naysayer. I love this match. Raven defends against Kane and they went right to the back, they fought in the back. Fucking Raven went through a glass window. Kane and Big Show went through a wall. They had some shit going on with the golf carts in the back, which I think the one fucking drove off the road. It was supposed to go on a little longer. I love that shit.
Yeah, what, they handcuffed one of them and he just broke it off the wall? Like,
because he's the fucking big red machine,
you couldn't
dude.
Have just found, you, first of all, the Hardcore Championship
fucking loser.
Sucked.
What's that?
JR screaming, there goes the Snapple when they knocked over the catering table. That's good shit, man.
I fucking hated this, too.
Kane, fucking Big Show's got Raven pressed over his head, and Kane knocks him to the floor, and he drops the big elbow on the Big Show and gets the pin. New champion. I fucking love this. I gave this a plus one.
I will say this, other than like the star power, like, Big Show wasn't anything special at that point.
You couldn't
have
just done like a Big Show Kane big man match.
Yeah, but no, dude, they needed Raven in there. Raven was the fucking wild card. That was
wasn't
awesome.
He the champ?
Yeah.
I hate the Hardcore Championship.
No, I agree with you. But they went like WrestleMania is like so structured now. Like they decided to go this match order. Like they opened it up strong, Chris Jericho, Regal. Then what was the best idea after that? Oh, let's do
that's
APA.
The come down. That's the
let's
come do down.
Four, three matches in a row?
Kevin, do you see what else is coming up on this show?
But
like, where else would you shove this stuff? There's so much meat on the bone here.
Sunday Night Heat.
Yeah, that, it was Sunday Night Heat.
Well, that's
right.
That's where we got X Factor and Steve Blackman and Al Snow. Steve Blackman and Grandmaster Sexay. That's your fucking Sunday Night Heat match, dude. You mad that our buddy PJ got a payday? Take it up with the office. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, because he blew it all on fucking drugs. How's that sound?
Wow, really?
Hot take, dickhead.
Really?
I like them apples.
I got some shit here. Angle's in the back. He's fucking furious because...
Yeah, because he didn't tap out. There was no referee there.
Oh, here we go.
Kurtzky, what's up, buddy?
Kurtzky?
Yeah.
I know you've got your hands full of Benoit tonight, but after you beat him and we totally...
Edge and Christian wanted to all celebrate together.
I figured maybe we'd go
out.
You know,
if you make someone tap their hand on the mat...
There you go.
And there isn't an official bell, and there wasn't an official ref, and it wasn't an official match, then they never officially made anyone tap.
Well, technically, sure.
They never officially made anyone tap.
That's some serious Kurt Angle shit right there.
He was serious.
He was fucking nuts, dude. He had the fucking, the eye of the tiger there. It was great. But before we get to the tiger, let's get to some Latino heat. The European Championship on the line. Test versus Eddie Guerrero with fellow, what do they call him?
Radical.
Perry Saturn in his corner. This was fucking hot. This was a great match.
If they put Eddie Guerrero with Test for his whole career, Test would have been a megastar.
No, Test had a good match with Shane McMahon.
He had good stuff. It was just
the lover or lever match when he was fighting for Stephanie's honor.
And I watched the Raw the next night. Like, his promos are terrible, but his facial reactions were awesome.
This was a fantastic. I really liked this match.
Yeah, he could move here, man. This was great. Fucking Snake Eyes and fucking... The best part, though, is when he got tied up and nobody could fucking get his ankle free.
Yeah.
Fucking funny shit. Funny shit. Great finish, too. Dean Malenko comes out, breaks up the pin, distracts Eddie Guerrero, boom with the belt, and gets the pin. New champion. Nothing to complain about here, man.
No,
nothing
I enjoyed
to complain
it.
About.
I had two Radicals t-shirts as a kid.
Up to this point, this was my favorite match.
I gave this a plus one. I fucking
more
love this
more
one.
More so than Regal Jericho?
Yeah. I really enjoyed this.
All right, there you go. Hot take.
It was a great big man, little man match, and you could tell Eddie was like all in on this, and it really helped. It helped Test a lot.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, Eddie was always all in, I feel like, Guerrero.
Well, he's kind of, you know.
Well, here's your Mick Foley interview coming up after this match where he says he's going to call it right down the middle here in good old Houston, Texas, and he fucking gets the pop and all that shit. Finally, Austin shows up. Who fucking shows up for the main event of WrestleMania like an hour into the show?
Austin and The Rock were both late, just so you know.
That's fucking ridiculous. They should have been fined like $25,000 each.
Well,
how does that happen? Kevin, how does that happen at WrestleMania?
Well, I'll tell you this much. certain guys have a little bit of leeway for what they've done for our business.
I love corporate Kevin.
And for our promotion specifically, that being the WWE. So we allow them some leeway, especially because I think he was having lunch with Deborah at one point. And then so we let it slide.
Well, yeah. There you go.
Makes sense.
Kurt Angle got a lot of mic time during this show. A lot more than a lot of people. I think more than like anybody that actually spoke on the show.
Especially for a match that wasn't a super focal point of it.
Here's another little bit of Angle.
Chris Benoit, even these 65,000 bull-riding, beer-bellied Texas yeehaws know that I have never
fucking awesome.
And will never tap out to you. Oh, and by the way, people, lose the freaking cowboy hats. You're not 7 years old anymore. Please.
He's talking to you. Lose the freaking cowboy hat.
I heard him, Paul.
Please.
And then 6 months later.
The irony.
Yeah. How fucking great. But this was Kurt Angle during like the Three Eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like, this was awesome Kurt Angle.
No, Kurt Angle is always awesome Kurt Angle.
I don't disagree.
I like the match, how they started out, where they were jockeying for position, like reversing each other, trying to work in, and then Benoit all of a sudden just keeps trying to shoot into the crossface, and Angle's had enough. He gets the cheap shot behind the referee's back, and they just keep going back and forth. And I like this. This is probably one of the first matches where they actually start using each other's finishers on each other. because Benoit reverses out of an ankle lock attempt and goes for his own ankle lock. Then Benoit goes for the crossface and Angle reverses out and puts a crossface on. Good shit. These guys fucking killed it.
I mean, it's Benoit and Angle.
I know, but you don't think about it now. This is 20 years ago. You don't really...
Well, the year prior, there was that triple threat with Jericho. Was that the year before? Jericho, Angle, Benoit in the triple threat with both titles on the line?
Yes, it was. It was the year before. It was Angle, Jericho, and Benoit.
And Angle had both belts and lost both belts.
He lost both belts without losing either fall.
Yeah.
Correct.
And it was weird because Benoit won the Intercontinental title first and then kind of just like left.
Here you go. And then, Heyman right here during commentary. Benoit is an undefeated WCW champion. How's that for a fucking line? You don't...
It's
what
true.
Are you shaking your head for?
Oh, I get it.
But it was such a great line. And he even said that Benoit spent time training in the New Japan dojo. He mentioned New Japan and their dojo at WrestleMania.
You don't think that undefeated WCW championship was a shot?
It's a fucking great line, though.
That's a shot at WCW, though.
There was no WCW.
I understand that, but it still was.
Yeah, but he was undefeated
I get
for
it.
One night.
Because he then, fucking
and,
left.
And then Sid Vicious had his foot under the rope, and
yeah.
then...
You know that, but if somebody listening, undefeated WCW champion, that sounds amazing.
Well, he lost, so there, have some
well,
of that.
Well, there you go.
Just listen to the latest Bruce Pritchard, Radicals Revisited
Didn't hear
podcast.
It yet. Didn't listen to it yet.
Talks about that extensively.
I gave that a +2. That was a fucking awesome match. That's one of the few +2s for the night.
Oh.
You might be surprised at some of the other ones.
Please tell me you gave this next match a +2.
Well, before we get there, Kamala's in William Regal's office, and he's got the line of the show where he yells, "Get down, you bloody heathen!" Fucking great shit.
I thought you said Kamala had the line of the night.
No, it was Regal. He actually did just that.
That's right.
When Regal yelled at him. We get a little bit here about all the guys visiting the troops down in Fort Hood, which was a nice little moment. Benoit attacks Angle in the back, and Angle taps again.
Yeah.
Fucking good stuff back there. And Matt's favorite match. Ivory defends the women's championship against the ninth wonder of the world, China. And he's already fucking tapping out.
This was a squash.
3 minutes. Ivory attacks. Ivory got this match because fucking, who was it? Val Venus pile drove China as part of the right to censor nonsense before this. So China was suffering a broken neck. She actually had a match against her against Ivory at the Royal Rumble.
And she got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Let me fucking just press this button here. There we go.
Nah, he's not wrong.
No, he's not.
You ready? Ready for this hot
Ivory,
take?
Go, all right, go ahead.
I don't think China was very good.
She wasn't.
Ever.
She wasn't.
No one ever said she was.
However, in this match, she was good enough for what the time gave her. She beat up Ivory, and it only went 3 minutes.
Yes, I know.
So I got, and the fucking Big Cannon came out.
Oh, yes. Great. The Big Cannon.
I have no problems with this match. I gave this one a half a star.
Her
actually,
Big Cannon?
I enjoyed this
they were
match.
Out too.
I enjoyed this match.
All right.
Nothing else?
Moving on.
I thought
nothing.
It was fun, especially for the fact that she's been wrestling men for like the last year before this.
So Vince is in the back with all the ladies involved. Mm-hmm. Medicaid Linda's still in the wheelchair, all this other nonsense.
Double her dosage. I think I just may have sharted.
And
nice.
When I did my McMahon voice.
Cole tries to get an interview. They do all the little recap there. They show Trish. This was Trish crawling around and barking like a dog and all that shit.
Sexy. Yep.
Yeah, stuff that doesn't really age too well. But
I really
whatever.
Enjoyed how they tried to pan in on the WCW box, and you couldn't fucking tell that from...
Then they had to go back to it, yeah.
And then the crew in that box.
Wait, did they? This is where they mentioned that?
It's my crew
yeah,
in the box.
I think
no, it was
Shane
the,
came
it
out
was
and he
Shane.
Cut a promo.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
For the match.
Shane shouts out the WCW wrestlers, which is the fucking graphic that they got on the bottom of the screen. And the only person I can make out from that shot was fucking Bobby Eaton. I don't know
no,
who
no,
Bobby
no,
Eaton.
It's Johnny Ace.
Johnny Ace.
Wait, that was Johnny Ace? I'm sorry. I didn't even make out Bobby Eaton.
I didn't even know who you I just knew Bobby Eaton wasn't there, so like
are
the
you
first,
sure it was Johnny Ace?
It was 100%
I swear to God, I thought it was beautiful Bobby.
And that wasn't even, that was the second shot. The first shot, they tried to zoom in, and there was nothing.
And he's like, "What's up, my boys?" Nobody gave a
Johnny
shit.
Johnny Ace, Mike Sanders, Mike Awesome.
No, Chavo was there.
Chavo
I
was
saw
there,
you, but I didn't see him till later on when they showed
Lance
him again.
Lance Storm.
Yeah, Bill DeMott was there. Chuck Palumbo, I think.
Sean Stasiak.
Wow, you guys got better eyes than I do.
Well, no, because
no, they did a second.
I had to look it up, too.
Oh, wait, Stacy Keibler was there, right? No?
No, she wasn't in the
I don't know.
Box.
Fuck.
So the original plan.
No, I did not see her box.
Was they were going to jump Vince McMahon during the match.
And what happened?
Sean Stasiak did an internet radio interview the day before and told them that they were going to be there.
Told who?
I remember something about that.
Is this why Sean Stasiak charges the big bucks now for interviews?
Well, no. Well, Sean Stasiak also was guilty of, like, when he was there the first time. As, like, filming the locker room or something.
Oh, was he
like
really?
That.
So he did, like, an online interview, the weekend in going in. He was saying like, yeah, we're going to jump Vince and everybody in the match. So Lance Storm tells a story that in the morning they got a phone call to come down, and they were told that they were all fired and to go home.
Really?
Yeah.
So then why were they there in the box?
Because someone decided to do something different in between the time the rest of the boys came downstairs.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Sean Stasiak really fucked the whole thing up for him.
Yeah, he really fucking put the kibosh on
that. Yeah, but they didn't... That wasn't the purpose of the storyline, though. That just happened to be a perfect wrinkle into it.
Sure, but it would have been better instead of showing WCW guys in the box if during this match a bunch of guys from WCW attack Vince McMahon.
It would have made them look 10 times better than...
Than whatever they went with.
A random run-in every 3 weeks or whatever.
This match was... Good for what it was?
I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it.
I really loved it. I forgot how good that this whole thing
20
was.
Years ago, Shane could throw great punches.
No, he couldn't.
Yes,
stop
he
it.
Did.
No, stop.
Fuck
stop,
you, dude.
Stop.
No, he was throwing potatoes. He was punching his old man in the face. He wasn't throwing shit punches like he throws now.
Yeah, but he throws four of them at his fucking rib cage first before he even throws one in the head.
No, dude, he connected with some headshots, dude.
You're making a fool of yourself.
Not making a fool of myself. This match was fucking awesome.
He's always...
I'll tell you what the most impressive part of this match was.
What?
Linda.
The way the crowd popped when she stood up in that fucking wheelchair.
Oh, dude, it was the whole story. The match was dog shit except for the story.
And when Trish finally said, I had enough too.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And when fucking Mick Foley got hit and he fucking just turns around, he's like, what the fuck, when Stephanie slaps him? And then when he takes the two chairs to the outside, he comes back in and beats the shit out of Vince. There were so many stories and so many levels to this.
And the intricacies of him wheeling Linda out, like, away before getting hit with the chair, putting Linda in the
putting
perfect...
her in the corner, yep.
In the perfect spot.
And he opens up just a little bit for the kick. Just a little bit. And the fucking Van Terminator.
Just a little bit.
Was this the first time Shane broke this out? Because they were making it on commentary.
The Van Terminator?
They played it off really like it was.
They were like, what the fuck is he doing?
I think it was. This may have been other. Now he had stuff with Xbox.
There was one great line. Shane hits Vince with a monitor, and fucking Heyman goes, "Are you out of your mind? He's the owner of the company." Fucking awesome, fucking awesome. There was just so much shit.
Yeah, but
you
think
here.
His son would know that?
It was so great. Fucking 1.5 on this one, folks. That was fucking great.
Wait, remind me of how your scoring system
I'm
works.
I'm going
again.
From a 0 to a +/-2. So it's not really like a 5-star. It was kind of how I was feeling watching the matches and how good I thought the matches were. It's not like I'm fucking doing anything technical. I was just jotting shit down. I figured.
So
it was
it's either 0
thing.
+1 or +2.
I mean, if there was a negative, I would put a negative. But I really didn't feel the need that anything really went that direction on the show. They took up through some WWF Access shit with the Hardy Boys talking about their upcoming match, which leads us to Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. Part 2, Edge and Christian, Hardy Boys taking on the champs, the Dudleys. What can you fucking say about it, dude? What can you fucking say about it? It was just amazing.
This was part 2?
This was TLC 2.
So the first one was a ladder match.
No, the first one was TLC.
Not at WrestleMania, though.
No, the first time all three of them together was TLC. The ladder match, I think, was just Edge and Christian and the Hardys.
No, because if this was TLC 2, TLC 2 was at a SummerSlam.
No, this was TLC 2.
TLC 3?
Was it? Are you sure about that? All right, well, when he gets out of the pisser or whatever. What I liked about this was that things didn't seem contrived. You know what I'm saying? They set the tables up on the outside. There wasn't like some shit going on, but then they all fucking wound up like going through the tables. I like that Rhino got involved. I like that Spike got involved. And
Lita.
Fucking Lita got involved. It was all
this
cool
was,
shit.
And this wasn't Rhino's... Was this Rhino's debut or was it his like second appearance?
No, he had already been on TV because he gored Lita.
Are you sure this was 3?
This is TLC 2, but this is the third of the 3 team matches.
Yeah, because the first one was the ladder match.
Now, was that WrestleMania the year before?
Yes.
And then
it
the
was
other
WrestleMania,
one was
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam. SummerSlam. Yeah. There you go. And of course, with Lita getting involved. That'll never get old. That'll never get old. Any thoughts on the
It's kind of what I've been preaching lately with wrestling. The story had so many layers, and everyone played such an important role. You mentioned it: Spike, Rhino, Lita, all getting involved.
This was Spike's first appearance. Then
no, he'd been on TV.
Are you
too.
Sure?
Yeah. Because they didn't make it seem like
because they mentioned it during the commentary how they all got taken out. They were like, none of them are in the building. Rhino took out Lita and Spike. Like, there was a whole storyline there.
There was the part where there were three ladders and all six of them go up and the two outside ladders get knocked over. And I think Bubba, and I think he was up with Matt in the middle, and they both fucking punched each other. Oh, no, it was Edge. And they punch each other and they both fucking fall off the ladders.
Maybe I'm thinking
good
back,
shit.
Maybe I'm thinking back to, like, when I watched it originally and remembering and not seeing these guys before. Maybe I missed a Raw or something like that. But I remember like seeing Rhino for the first time, I think, at this show. Or Jeff, even Spike, I think, on this show.
Jeff Hardy tried the fucking leapfrog spot from walking from ladder to ladder to ladder.
Died.
And he fell. And then when he climbs back up, Bubba Ray takes the ladder away and Edge spears him off the fucking belt cable. Great shit, dude. Great shit.
So Rhino debuted about 2 weeks before WrestleMania.
This was so good. This was so good.
I guess what this is 2001. I was
2001. Yes,
a senior in high school at this point. So I probably maybe I just missed it. But I remember watching. This show, and thinking that it was one of the Dudley's debut, or it was also Rhino's debut. But Kevin is wrong.
Jeff's big ladder spot was on Rhino and Spike. Lita ate a 3D. Rhino took a Hurricanrana from Lita. Spike put
didn't
Rhino
he do a Dudley
a
death drop? Or didn't he do his, what do they call
acid
it?
Drop.
The acid drop to the outside, yeah, yeah, to the table. Yeah. Just crazy shit, dude. Bodies everywhere. It was awesome.
And Edge and Christian win again.
Yeah, but you know why? Because Devon's going up one side, and Rhino puts Christian on his shoulders and climbs the ladder that allows Christian to get the belts. He beat him to the top with that assist.
Brilliant. They won all three ladders, three-way dances, too.
Every single one.
Which is why, to me, arguably, top three or four tag teams of all time.
Wow, you made that sound like you were going to say they were the top tag team.
I can't take that away from the Dudley boys.
We get a little bit from Access. Mick Foley gives somebody a Mr. Socko for a Make-A-Wish donation, but that's not the big deal. The big deal is...
Craig Steele.
If you blinked, you missed Jerry Lynn and Poppy Chulo having a match at Access.
Oh, in the background?
Yes. So Jerry Lynn got his 2 seconds of fame being on WrestleMania. You get the announcement from the Fink, 67,925 fans, which gets us into the Gimmick Battle Royal.
Oh, baby.
Coming down the aisle, Mean Gene and Bobby Heenan, as we spoke about earlier, getting in there and doing commentary for this one. You think Bobby Heenan called Mean Gene Tony on purpose when they were sitting down? You think that was a dig? Or you think he made an honest mistake?
Didn't even notice it.
Wow. All right. The Bushwhackers, fresh off of their appearance a year earlier at the Heroes of Wrestling wearing their Men Down Under tights. Don't even know if you noticed that. Duke the Dumpster Drosy, your buddy. The Iron Sheik makes his appearance, and we get this quip.
By the time the Iron Sheik gets to the ring, it'll be WrestleMania 38.
No?
It was accurate. Yeah, I mean, Earthquake? Yeah. As Earthquake was walking down, you still saw Iron Sheik.
We got let me see, who else was there? Earthquake, The Goon, Doink the Clown, Kamala with Kimchi, who also wrestles.
Earthquake got a big pop, by the way.
He sure did. Oh, and the Repo Man.
Last week he repoed his own car. This man is nuts.
About 5 years ago, he got my mother-in-law's.
About 4 years ago, everybody got your mother-in-law.
Brilliant. How great is that line?
Brilliant.
4 years ago, everyone got your mother-in-law. No?
No, it was perfect.
What do you want me to do?
I don't know. You look flustered over there.
Fucking Battle Royal was dumb. It was fucking stupid.
Oh, wait. He also had a little quip for Doink I missed.
Here's your favorite, Logan.
No, you didn't, because he came out after.
Gotta love this guy.
Why?
He goes, you gotta love this guy, and Heenan goes, why?
They should have just let these two call every match except for the two main events.
Oh, it's fucking great. Let me see. Jim Cornette, Nikolai Volkov, Dude, One Man Gang, the Gobbledygooker who got an explanation video where they showed like his like where he's from, Tugboat. Hillbilly Jim comes out. Why does Hillbilly Jim not have Don't Go Messing With a Country Boy?
Maybe he doesn't own the rights to
yeah,
it.
That's
but that's it a fucking, that was a Jimmy Hart thing, wasn't it? Wasn't that a WWF doesn't, album thing?
Well, Mean Gene Oakland didn't come out to Tutti Frutti.
They should have. That's a fucking sacrilege.
No, but he did at the show, though, I think.
They should have had him come out with that.
No, he did. They just replaced it, I believe.
Oh, it's possible?
I think. Unless I'm confusing him with like a random Raw or something.
Brother Love and Sergeant Slaughter. I got one more audio clip from this.
Tell a little story.
See the you fucking said, shit
who was my odds-on favorite?
Yeah.
It's got to be the man right here. Hillbilly Jim.
I'm going to go with the Iron Sheik. Former world champion. He has all that amateur background, all that experience. All that experience in this industry. Was a former WWF tag team champion, former WWF champion. You gotta go with the Iron Sheik.
And of course, he moves like Carl Lewis. Got a lot of moves.
He moves more like Sherry Lewis.
Gene throws a dig saying he moves like Carl Lewis, and Hina follows it up with more like Sherry Lewis.
Sherry Lewis, like the
lamb
puppet,
chop, yeah,
the puppeteer.
Yes.
Listen, yo, but you see, Hillbilly Jim look like he could still go. Though.
He was always jacked.
He's always jacked. He's still jacked. Yeah.
No, but like. Like, Hillbilly Jim could have had a re-character at that point.
Well, here's your final four. Brother Love, Sergeant Slaughter, Hillbilly Jim, and the Iron Sheik. Slaughter throws out Love. Hillbilly throws out Slaughter. The Iron Sheik throws out Hillbilly Jim to win the match. Oh, by the way, Teddy Hart's one of the referees outside. I don't know if you noticed that.
Wait.
Oh, not Teddy Hart. Teddy Long. Sorry.
All right.
Wrong Teddy. I got excited.
I could have done without this.
I gave it a one. I loved it.
You gave it a one?
I gave it a one, dude. I loved it. Go fuck your hand. I loved
it. I gave it. I loved it. I did too.
I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
Matt, you don't remember this time period? It was announced. Like, it wasn't like it was a spur of the moment thing. It was announced.
It was bad.
What did you expect? You had the Bushwhackers.
I didn't expect anything. It should have been on Sunday Night Heat.
Oh, this is great.
They should have thrown China and Ivory in there.
And Heenan won't shake Mean Gene's hand at the end when he was trying to say thanks for joining me and blah, blah, blah. Good shit. Love this shit. Speaking of loving shit.
We all go to head.
Undertaker and King.
We're going to kick your ass.
He doesn't look right without a mustache and a beard.
Who, Lemmy?
Lemmy.
Well, he's got his Cocoa Puff showing. What?
Yeah, but no, he doesn't. A freshly shaved Lemmy doesn't look right.
Well, he didn't want to upstage Triple H because Triple H was clean shaven, though.
No one ever wants to upstage Triple H.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, this was cool.
I do feel bad for Lemmy, though. He fucking forgot the words halfway through this fucking thing.
He's probably fucking drinking Jack Daniels all day waiting for
I am the game I want to play. I am the game and I want to play. All right, Lemmy. No, I loved it, but.
I love Motorhead. I forgot
who
they even
like
did
Motorhead?
This. Kevin.
I like when they sing wrestling songs.
See, he doesn't know anything about Motorhead.
So here's your semi-main, The Undertaker. The Undertaker and Triple H. I mean, some people really didn't like this match.
Really? I thought it was great.
I thought it was great, too.
Out of all the nonsensical matches, especially later in their careers, this was the best one.
And this is the first time that I remember that they were making a big deal that The Undertaker has never lost at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I noticed that, too. I wanted to go back and watch WrestleMania prior and after to see when they did it, but it was 8-0, right? After this point?
I want to say yes.
It was either going into it or after it, it was 8-0.
It was Snuka.
Oh, yeah, we could do this right easily. Yeah.
Bundy.
Gonzalez.
DQ.
A win's a win, brother.
Oh, I can do this real quick. All
right, Sid.
Yeah.
Kane at 14, right?
Yeah. We had 6. And 15 was... No, was he all 15?
I don't know.
We could look up Undertaker streak real quick.
I could just go back a year. Who did he beat at 2000? Big Show?
Well...
No, Big Show was in the main event, wasn't he?
Was there another Kane in there?
Oh, yeah. It was well,
he did Kane 3 times.
Well,
he wasn't on 2000.
Yeah, I didn't think... He missed one of them. He missed a couple.
He missed a handful.
He missed 2000. Yeah. He missed 10. He beat Kane at 15 and 14.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Right?
Yeah. And then again,
oh,
at
he
20.
Beat Boss Man at 15 in the Hell in the Cell.
Oh, somebody go help Edge. Uncle Edge.
Yeah, there we go. 14 was Kane, 15 was Fucking numbnuts, big boss man. There we go. See, a 17 would have been 8. No, I thought it was. I liked it. I thought it was a great match. Told a great story.
I haven't watched this match in a while, which is weird because I feel like I watched this pay per view before, like since originally. I forgot how like crazy they got, like the choke slam, like off like the sound system, like the stage and stuff.
Yeah,
it was awesome. And then especially when, dude, the last ride is a very underrated finisher.
Oh, the last ride, who got hit with Sledgy in the head,
which was great. And then I was like, all right, so it looked good when they hit him in like that first angle. I'm like, oh my god, they're gonna show the replay in the side angle. Like, is it gonna look as good?
Kev, a replay?
It looked just as good. It was perfect.
That replay was brought to you by Snickers.
Yeah, I told her that it was great. I loved it. I really liked that match.
Good shit. Good shit.
Underrated finisher, the last ride. First time I've ever seen like that kind of thing done with the powerbomb.
What I thought was weird, though, like every time Undertaker was giving Mike Chioda shit, Mike Chioda would back down. But every time Triple H tried to give him shit, he would get right up in his face. So much so that he even took the sledgehammer away from him early in the match. That was a little weird.
It was weird. The ref laid there unresponsive for 10
like 25 minutes,
too.
Yeah. But, you know.
I'm down.
I'm in.
I loved it. I loved it. Both guys were fucking busted open. They were slogging where they were fucking like slowing down their movements as the match went on, but it fit perfectly. It wasn't like 2 minutes in and they can't get up. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, fucking.
I do know what you're saying.
Triple H, man. This was the point in time where he could really fucking do no wrong. He was having great matches.
Yep. Then he got. Oh, then it just led into the two-man power trip, I believe.
Yeah, and then he blew a quad and. I don't know.
All right, let's get down to it, son.
Yeah, we got all the walking and talkings now. I don't know how far back the good promos go, but this fucking whole thing being built up with My Way, fucking perfect by the production team.
Yeah, they really hit all
perfect.
This era.
Even when the music videos. Yeah, when the music kicks in and then all of a sudden they're showing them rapid fire punching each other and shit, like everything played perfectly here. Perfectly here. I don't know.
So there was
the whole thing with Deborah too was kind of fucking weird too.
So this is I don't remember WrestleMania 17 at all.
Okay.
So watching this back, when I saw Vince come out, then I was like, oh, they're gonna do this. This
yeah.
is where this happened. Which is why I decided to watch the Raw and SmackDowns after. Which, if we can go a couple minutes over 9 o'clock, I don't know what your schedule is like, but I would like to talk about that too.
I'll allow it.
Well, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's not my studio.
That's right.
But I thought it was good. I thought they told a good story.
It was weird because during the middle of the match, I took notice that Austin, when he was in control, the crowd was going nuts. The minute The Rock took over, you could hear the fucking boos, man. It was bad. Like, people were all in for Austin. Later on, as the match went on,
right.
as it was getting more hot, they started like turning a little bit, going and go, you know, like cheering for The Rock.
I think it was when McMahon showed up is when they kind of felt something.
It was a little before that too, because even when the finish went down, people were still fucking going crazy for Austin.
Well, you have to remember it was Texas too.
I get that, and it's a weird place to kind of try to do something like that. But just the back and forth, like fucking Austin hits a rock bottom, you know? Both of them put on some fucking shitty looking sharpshooters, but they both fucking did that. Fucking The Rock hitting the stunner, like back and forth. It was that time period where guys were starting to fucking hit each other's finishers on each other. Like, and it was becoming a thing. Good shit.
I loved it. And sometimes, like, we always ask the question, what was done worse, like the Goldberg heel turn or the Austin heel turn? This Austin heel turn was amazing.
Do you think so?
I do. Like looking back, watching it, I actually rewatched it today, and I'm like watching it again. I'm like, this was so well done because it wasn't just one moment. It was like McMahon is giving him the chair. Austin's giving McMahon direction. He's doing this. It was like a slow, like it was like, oh my god, this is really gonna be a thing. Like Austin's really gonna be a bad guy now. It wasn't just a quick like. Turn and what made it for me was at the end they didn't hug, they just shook hands, and I forgot. I always in my head I thought they hugged,
yeah,
and they didn't. They shook hands. Vic also gave him a little slap on the head, and they did like a beer thing.
Vince hits Rock with the chair. He helps the referee get in there. Only a two count. Pop for the kick out. Austin loses his mind. Rock bottom. No ref. Rock pays Vince. Stunner, two count. Just fucking every time Austin was hitting him with a finisher, The Rock was still fucking kicking out. Chair, two count.
Yeah, a lot
chair
of falsies.
Chair to the ribs. Chair to the... And then finally, he just fucking beats him and beats him and beats him down. And that finally does
and
it.
And I want to go back to the Triple H Undertaker match. Triple H was laying in some vicious chair shots in on the Undertaker.
Oh, dude, yeah.
That was this era.
Yeah. Like the chair, the top of the chair was bent, and he was still hitting him. Like,
well, there were
not just on the shoulder, like literally get him in like the ear.
There were
or
a couple times though, if you notice on the scaffolding, he was going for the bottom rung of the scaffolding just to get the noise and not really fucking kill him. But yeah, he was laying them fuckers in, and some of them were connecting big time.
Yeah.
So Austin walks out champion,
the champion.
Here's a question I got to ask you real quick. Yeah. Something else I took notice of: did The Rock ever wear the championship around his waist? Did he ever wear the belt? Every time I ever remember seeing him, he always just carried it in his hand or put it on his shoulder when he was corporate.
Well, did Austin?
No.
You know what? That's a good point, too. Well, Austin wore the $1 million belt.
Well, I think Rock also may have won the Intercontinental Championship around his waist.
It's possible.
When he was like a super heel, like he may have. I'm pretty sure he did. I'm sure if you go back in time or Google, you'll find
something. Then again, I think these guys never wore the belts because a lot of the times they were starting a match before they even fucking made it to the ring.
It's true, too.
You know?
But
that's a plus, too. Overall, I give the fucking show an A+. I love this fucking show. I even love the fucking matches that Matt thought were shitty. I thought they all served their fucking purpose. You got three fucking bona fide,
well, look,
at least.
To be fair, every WrestleMania has those throwaway matches.
You're right. And even going back to like the first one.
Yeah, so like, you're not going to I'm not going to slight WrestleMania 17 because I didn't like.
But there was so much more good that outweighed like that.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, I mean, you got Angle Benoit, which was a fucking great match. Triple H Undertaker, which is great. The TLC match, the main event. That's four matches at the top of the card
right there. Shane and Mr. McMahon was good.
Shane and Vince, fucking Jericho opening with Regal.
Eddie and Test.
Yeah, you got seven matches right there.
Yeah.
And if you want to jump ahead to next year, I think that's when it gets kind of crazy. WrestleMania 18 in Toronto.
Ooh, are we covering that for one of you guys?
No, but there's no chance. But this was, I think, like the resurgence of having a lot of matches.
Oh, another point. This was even before Here Comes the Money because both McMahon fellas came out to No Chance in Hell, which is kind of weird.
Excuse me.
Good one.
And I noticed that when they played.
Really weird. Like, Shane and his old man are fighting. Why would they give him the same music? Is it like a fucking Paul Orndorff, Hulk Hogan kind of thing?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe that's what they were going for.
And then because I don't remember this, I watched the Raws and the SmackDowns after this.
Okay, yeah, this is what you want to
get to. And to Kevin's point, like, they did a great, like, the way they set up Austin and Triple H becoming a team, and then next week where Austin is beating Lita with a chair while she's covering Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
It's like such a holy shit heel moment, and now he's aligned himself with Triple H, and he beats the shit out of Jim Ross. Like, it was done so well, with Vince coming out, stop it, what are you doing? You're not giving it your all. You're not hitting him as hard as you want to. And he, like, hauls off and beats the shit out of JR. And, like, some weird, it's like, you know, oh, we saw the Hardy Boys talking to Shane McMahon in the back. So they think they're going WCW, so you got to wrestle the Big Show tonight, and then you got to wrestle Austin and Triple H. And they're like, we got nothing to lose, let's go out and do it.
How great was it during the main event where Paul Heyman's like, I'm tired of you kissing Austin's ass just because he's your friend. He's like, what do you give a shit if he's my friend? It's fucking good stuff. Good stuff.
And then you had those layers with Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy against the two-man power trip and the Undertaker and Kane stuff against them.
Yeah.
It was
Jericho and Benoit against them, too, well, forming an alliance.
Yeah, and I was actually at that King of the Ring at the Meadowlands where Benoit got hurt.
A lot of people consider this WrestleMania to be like the crucial like pivot point where the business maybe started to wane after this.
All right, can I just run down the WrestleMania 18 card real quick
so we can go ahead.
All right, so you had Albert, Rikishi, and Scotty Duhati defeated Lance Storm, Mr. Perfect, and Test.
That's
Rob Van Dam versus William Regal.
Okay.
Diamond Dallas Page, Christian, Maven, Goldust, and like the hardcore whatever, Kurt Angle, Kane, Undertaker, Ric Flair, Edge, Booker T, Steve Austin, Scott Hall, Billy and Chuck, APA, Dudley Boys, Hardy Boys, in a four-way.
Was it shortly after this that Austin walked out after this WrestleMania? Because I know he was not. He wasn't happy about having to work with Scott Hall.
He walked out after working with Scott Hall, I believe.
Well, no, he didn't want to lose to Brock on Raw.
That was the one that he walked out. But this already set that shit in motion. He was not happy about main eventing and then wrestling Scott Hall.
So, like, your equivalent matches are like the Albert Rikishi Scotty versus Lance. Actually, that was actually, I actually think that made the pre-show.
This one
that
fell
was
off.
Sunday Night Heat, actually, now that I think about
this
it.
This one sounds like it fell off a little bit, though.
Anyway, but I just wanted to throw that out there in terms of.
And they've got some names on the show.
Like how many matches there were?
Probably 10.
12.
12. Oh, there you go.
Which I guess is not.
That was 11 on this one.
Yeah,
maybe I'm just counting the pre-show.
I guess I'm just remembering.
But I mean, you also have a 4-minute fucking battle royal. You have a 3-minute battle royal, 3-minute China match, a 4-minute APA
10-minute intro for the fucking battle royal.
The main event was almost a half an hour. Mm-hmm. And Triple H Undertaker was only about 18 minutes.
I just felt like for the most part, growing up or even as an adult, 8 matches was like your standard. Even though that's not true.
No, WrestleMania 3 had like 13 or 14 matches.
I'm not saying WrestleMania, I'm saying pay-per-view. WrestleMania for sure has had a million matches.
Probably about 7 or 8. That's probably about right.
For like your SummerSlam didn't have 15 matches.
No.
I could be wrong about that too. All right.
So that was WrestleMania 17.
Awesome pick, Tony.
That was a fun Wizards rewind. I enjoyed that very much.
I'm glad you did. I can't wait to see what you guys pick.
Yeah, do you want to go next? Do you want me to go next?
Well, you don't have to pick now, right?
No, not right now. No, we're just.
I'll go next.
We can talk about it off the air. Kevin can go next. That's fine.
All right, you got some news and notes. Let's try to battle through these.
Yeah, I
want to
blow through this. A bunch of stuff happened in Ring of Honor. Brody Lee re-signed. We talked about Jay White taking on
Marty.
The past and the present show is starting to shape up. Alex Shelley and Matt Sydal are taking on Marty Scurll and Flip. Shit, who else?
Shit.
They just announced Doug Williams taking on Jay Lethal.
Doug Williams is in Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
Well, now he is.
Right? Let's see.
I had no idea.
No, wait. Maybe. Where is it in my notes? God
damn it. When is Aldis and Roosh taking on?
This Sunday.
That's a pay-per-view?
It's the free Enterprise show on the Honor Club.
Doug
Williams, Jonathan Gresham, because Lethal challenged Xavier.
Right, okay.
They're bringing back the Ring of Honor Pure Championship.
What do you think about that?
I think that's huge.
But that's another belt, dude.
Who was the last Pure Champion?
Nigel. Nigel lost to Bryan Danielson. Yeah. That belt was only around for 2 years.
Did Matt Hardy
like
have it?
It seemed like it was so much longer.
I don't think so. Was Matt Hardy a Pure Champion?
No. The Pure Champion hasn't been... in existence since like 2006.
Oh, 2006?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are only like a handful of guys that won that belt, right? Yeah,
wasn't there that time where Matt Hardy was... Oh, I'm wrong. Never mind.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
They unified it with the world title.
Yeah.
In 2006.
Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, he beat Nigel. AJ Styles, Doug Williams, John Walters, Jay Lethal, Samoa Joe. They had Pure title during its existence. They just need to kind of update the rules. And I don't have what the rules are pulled up. I know we're on a time crunch, so I'm not going
to
get into
it. Well, they did update them. Because it used to be like you got 3 rope breaks. You couldn't use a closed fist. There was some other shit that went in there. But yeah, after 3 rope breaks, that was the big deal. Because if you were putting a submission, you can't use a rope break to get out of it.
Closed fist punches were illegal. 3 rope breaks, stop submission holds, and pinfalls during the match. After that, pinfalls and submission holds on or under the ropes would be legal.
So then you could like fucking make somebody keep breaking up a pin and then just fucking put your feet on the ropes and hold them down later.
Yes.
Fucking A, dude.
So this is coming back.
You don't
think
it's too many belts, though?
No.
TV, 6-man, tag, world.
If it's done right.
Oh, if anything's done right, sure. But that's a lot of gold for this company.
I think they're in it like this show this Sunday, this free Enterprise show, is a huge, huge deal for Ring of Honor. If they can hit on all cylinders and continue the momentum going forward, it's going to make or break the company.
Yeah, they kind of need this. They need something huge.
Like, I don't think people understand like how big of a deal this is.
I'm sure they do.
I don't think? Like they need this show. Like,
no, I'm not even joking. Like, I don't
like Nick. Like
why this show?
Because last year was a complete disaster for Ring of Honor. Coming out of,
no, I get that.
Right, so they have to rebound.
So giving away a free show
is—it's not about that. It's taking the talent and showcasing them properly. And with Marty having the book and reopening the working relationship with NWA and New Japan Pro Wrestling and giving this show away for free where you can get more eyes on it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a come on back to Ring of Honor kind of show.
Well explained. Perfect.
Like,
yeah.
We're going to bring back the pure title. We're going to go back to our roots.
Yeah, I mean, look what happened this past year. The whole thing with Kelly Klein with all that nonsense. PCO Roosh that everybody was complaining about, you know? Putting Matt Taven over at the Garden. Like, these were a lot of things that people shit all over the past year, you know? So I kind of get why they're doing this. And, you know, see what happens. Hopefully they get a nice crowd there. What, any kind of words as to how many tickets are available yet? Or
I don't know. That's a great question. I know I got my tickets, and then when I went back, like, that whole bottom floor was gone.
Well, there you go. So, you got in quick because you're a wizard. That's why.
And I'm an Honor Club member. And I think, look, they're bringing back the pure title. They're going to do this anniversary show where they're going to bring back wrestlers from the past that can still work. So I think they're really trying to tap into the Ring of Honor fans that
may have left.
May have gone elsewhere.
So we're going to get a TNA reunion show and a Ring of Honor reunion show.
You know what's next, Kevin?
ECW.
You got it.
Fuck you,
you
guys.
Got it. Abraham Washington's still available. They bring him back.
I believe Ricky Ortiz is available. And I'm pretty sure
Shannon Moore?
I don't know. Well, Sean Spears is signed to AEW, so he won't be there.
Yes.
Gavin Spears.
In NXT World.
Fuck, that was him?
Yeah, bro.
God damn. Woo.
In NXT World, the Broserweights, is that what we're calling them? They won the Dusty Road Classic, beating Zach Gibson and James Drake.
If you will, Daddy.
I hate that. I hate when they put the two biggest single stars together and they it's assumed they're going to win. They did it with Ricochet and Aleister Black.
I mean, you got a lot of meat at the top there. A
lot of meat on the bones, Kev.
In New Japan Pro Wrestling, Shingo beat Hirooki Goto to win the NEVER Openweight Championship the other night. And then Sho was on commentary, so they kind of had a stare down with Takagi after the match. Be interesting to see what they do with that. And then Gorillas of Destiny took the titles off of Finjuice in Atlanta Saturday night.
Of course they did. Finjuice shouldn't have fucking won them to begin with. So another fucking pick that shit me up.
Well, you know what I'm excited about?
What?
If Ring of Honor wants to listen to you old Shining Wizards Matt here. Supercard of Honor, Gorillas of Destiny versus Danny Moff and Jeff Cobb.
Hula Hula and the Bayonne Badass?
Against God? Come on.
Wow.
I saw him off on Thursday.
Get some.
Doing awesome. Love him. Do you think they're going to do that?
I would.
They're advertised.
New Japan's weakest thing that they have going on right now is their tag team division.
What?
He's right.
That means they got to either.
Well, those are the juniors.
The junior champs?
Yeah.
That means they got to go up. Now, I know they kind of planted the seeds for them against G.O.D.
Why don't they make Tanahashi a team?
Because your boy's got whatever. His fucking insides are falling out.
I know. He's coming back, though, for this Sunday show, no?
As of right now, yes.
Okay.
That's why he didn't make the trip to the States.
All right, we'll have to figure out when we're going to put our picks out there. Maybe we'll do a call time later this week if we all have time. Just to do picks. We'll think about it off air.
All right.
You got anything else?
Real quick. Anthony Russinello was coming back from Florida today, rocking his sweet Macho Man Randy Savage chalkline shirt, and he's conjured up a wrestling conversation with somebody who was on the way to Huntsville, Alabama. If you don't know, AEW is doing their TV show there Wednesday night, and he said the show in Jersey, they got some big things planned, and Vince is going to shit his pants.
Oh my.
What do you guys think would make Vince shit his pants?
You're doing this now? I thought we were wrapping this thing up.
We are wrapping it up, but I had it written down in notes, and I asked Anthony if I could share a story.
What would make Vince shit his pants?
Wait, who did he talk to?
Oh, really?
Alabama. I can tell you off the air. He talked to a man on his way to Huntsville, Alabama, who's working the AEW show.
All right.
If I tell you what he does, then it kind of gives away who this person was.
I think the only thing that would really make Vince McMahon shit his pants is if Steve Austin appeared for AEW. That's the only thing. Vince has been through a lot of shit, and he's had his heart broken a bunch of times by guys that he liked. But if something happened where Steve Austin went to AEW, that would fucking give him a heart attack.
You think so?
I think that's the only possible thing that would really fucking stick in his craw.
kind of with Tony on this.
Because Vince, he's always been loyal to Vince. He's, I'm sure he's had millions of opportunities.
He still has that show on the network.
I understand, but if that happened, that would be the only thing that Goldberg would fucking stick out to me.
Maybe Goldberg.
Nah, because Goldberg's fucking done other shit, right?
New York is Vince's backyard, though. So, like, what's going to stick? Like, what
they work the garden? I don't know.
No, what's going to, like, make
is it?
Him be like,
is there a real answer here, or you're...
Well, this guy didn't divulge this information, but he says it's a huge thing.
Okay, well, I've got a huge thing right here.
Andre the Giant.
Memorial Battle Royal.
CM Punk?
That would move the needle. But
I don't think Vince gives a shit about CM Punk. To be honest with you.
I mean, he works for Fox Sports 1 and he shows up on your show.
That might be the answer.
If CM Punk was the show about the Prudential Center,
that's huge. That's a big deal.
That would break the world.
That's a big deal.
For at least 3 days.
Yep. I agree.
Nah, if Gene Siskey showed up, it would break the world.
I'm going to punch you. Right. Be sure to tune in next week as Jazzy Gabbert.
Gabbert. Yeah.
Gilbert.
The alpha female calls in, joins us, talks about her brand new promotion in Germany. Plus, we're going to have some results from the New Beginning pay-per-view show. And maybe I'll give you a road report on my Ring of Honor excursion.
That's awesome.
I'm so jealous.
And we'll pick results from Roppongi something in Osaka, Japan.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
New Beginning in Osaka.
I don't even have music today, but I have this that we can go out on. No. You're going to like this. I'm going to let this run.
And if you're in Carlstadt, New Jersey.
Oh, yes. Kevin Plus.
If you're in Carlstadt, New Jersey, right across the street from the old Brendan Byrne Arena and, of course, MetLife Stadium, I'll be at Reds Carlstadt this Friday night. Saturday night, no show. Sunday night, Montclair Tierney's, baby. Comedy.
At Reds?
Yeah.
I went to the repast for my grandmother there.
Classy broad.
Cool. Way to really bring that on the show.
I said that on purpose. See you all next week.
Knock them dead.
Yeah, that's all. They're shaking hands. The whole cold is shaking hands. We're saving this town. For the love of God, someone tell me this is not happening. It's happening. Stone Cold Steve Austin has stolen his soul for the WWF title. We are witnessing something that will be talked about for years to come. I don't believe this. What the hell? Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch, I don't believe this. Steve Austin's drinking a damn beer with Mr. McMahon. Stone Cold has stolen his soul to Satan himself to win the WWF title. Why, Steve? Why this way? For the love of God, Texas or not, why is Stone Cold? McMahon and Austin are together. Vince McMahon and Stone Cold Steve Austin are together. Austin and McMahon made us work. Might as well urinate on the rock. That's what they've done to him. I can't believe this. I thought I knew Austin. I thought I knew the Texas rattlesnake. Stone Cold has sold out his band. He sold you and all of his band right down the river. And you know what? You have to say the leopard never changes his spot because he's a rattlesnake. And that's what a rattlesnake will do. I don't believe this. I thought I knew that man. I thought I knew Steve Austin. I was there in the hospital when he came out of surgery. I thought I knew him. I thought he would never, ever.